stupid we can do.
What's the worst that could happen?
Live from Sacramento. Overlooking the Cap City Freeway and the picturesque parking lot of the Doubletree. Perched atop the 93rd floor of the iHeartRadio Media Megaplex. It's the Dog and Joe Show.
Oh, I love a big dog.
Good morning, Sacramento.
Wow, Dana, score it.
10. Yeah.
It is a Friday. We got happy news over sad music. We got a blatant bribe in 40 minutes for another $1,000. We do those at the bottom of each and every hour. Today is the final day for the Bon Jovi Jumble. And Dana has alerted me that we have a very plush and thick Dog and Joe Show hoodie. The first round of 2020 and hell, probably the first round in almost a year. No, the Dog and Joe Show.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I love that. What
we do is give you skill testing Dog and Joe Show questions to find out how well you've been paying attention or how little you were sleeping during the show. And there's an updated list of all these questions because all these great things have happened to the Dog and Joe Show since the last time we played. If you can correctly identify which member of the show the question belongs to, wow, huge cash and prizes in the
always
form of
always love when you make those questions, too.
Yeah.
Aren't they the best?
Mm-hmm.
They really are. They present me and Dana in embarrassing lights and you on a pedestal.
Nothing.
Because you idiot.
You're just such a chunk of excrement. Is that what goes through your head, really?
That's the frightening thoughts that I think of when you say no the Dog and Joe Show, because embarrassing facts come out about me.
The way you live your life keeps you from ever being on a footstool, let alone a pedestal. That's on you. Yeah, don't poop
it. I got no problems with that.
Dog always wants to play this game that makes him seem normal and average. And then it makes me out to look like some sort of stupid peasant.
A boob. He boomerizes me.
A societal misfit. Not just that.
You do that to yourself. Yeah. He's right.
Don't blame me and Dana on that.
I work hard at that. I just want to be on a footstool.
Dana, it's not fair. I don't get to be on a footstool. I never said that in my life. You turd. Okay, we got a bunch of stuff to get to today. Back from yesterday. BOC mirrors. There you go.
Yeah.
A lot of people yesterday, I was going through comments, a lot of people shouting out for the soft white underbelly, which is BOC's sidelining alias tour name when they go into small bars and all that. Back in the day when BOC was like gigantic and they wanted to do small clubs, they were called Soft White Underbelly. And people are like, whoa, what's this Soft White Underbelly band? We got to go see them. And they'd walk in, they'd get tickets. They're like, what the hell? That's Blue Oyster Cult.
That's crazy.
That's so cool.
That is, isn't it?
But now in this day and age, Blue Oyster Cult would have a tough time getting tickets sold if they told everyone we're Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, I don't know.
Do they have a tougher time?
Tougher time is Blue Oyster Cult or Soft White Underbelly?
No, they go Soft White Underbelly. No one goes.
That's right. Yeah.
The show doesn't even get booked. So here you go. Mirrors from BOC, a.k.a. Soft White Underbelly. They got tough work today, though, because this is big. This is Journey.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that. And this is going back to the Greg Raleigh days with Steve Perry. I'm going to flip the album cover around. If you're driving or whatever, you can't have the Facebook Live. Check out those faces. Look at those angel flights. Look at those kids back when this record came out. You can see all the guys there. You got Greg Raleigh. You've got, look at Ross Valerie. Look at Neil Schon. I mean, all these guys.
The way you do that without even looking at it is, what's an angel flight?
These are angel flights. Right there, Joe. You see that? See that? See,
oh, get out of here.
Oh, my.
See, Greg Raleigh. See,
Lord have mercy.
Oh, my goodness.
That's back when the potato went in the front, not the back.
Wow.
Yeah. Those are angel flights, though.
And that's not the guy stealing women.
Well, no. That's Neil Schon.
Yeah.
So, and these aren't really true angel flights because there's not enough flair on them. But angel flights are what John Travolta wore in Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Those are tight. I mean, they go up on the hip low, but they are snug in all the wrong places. And then they get just below the knee.
I think the women think it's in the right places.
Well, I know, but I think it's the wrong places. and then the knees, boom, bell out, man. I mean, they go fast. They're real skin tight, and then they go poof. Huh. Angel flights, yeah.
I think I may have a gray pair of those.
Yeah, I'd wear them.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, wear those on your date.
Yeah.
You know what? I might.
You're not supposed to get excited about that.
You should.
Yeah, they got pockets in them. I could take my wallet.
I don't think people were wearing Angel Flights. You were probably... Hell, I was probably 6 or 7. They were done by the time you were born, damn near.
Yeah.
Angel Flights were... If anyone was wearing them after 1980, that was funny.
Well, I wasn't buying them for a wardrobe. I was buying them for a costume. But I've got a pair of those things that I wear from time to time. Oh, and I'll don them in public.
Yeah, I say rock it. And again, they'll look a little different than they do on Greg Raleigh, because those will look like Joe's pants, but the potato will be in the back.
That's so stupid. I knew that was coming.
Here's the songs, though. You got Wheel in the Sky. Fantastic song, but here's what you got to do, I think. Feeling That Way Anytime. And we will play those back to back, because that's a fantastic group of songs. And what you get with Feeling That Way Anytime is you get Greg Raleigh in the beginning, and then you have Steve Perry come in, and you could hear why it is Steve Perry bounced out Greg Raleigh. You can actually hear him getting fired on this record.
That's right. I forgot. Okay, that's right.
You can hear him getting fired.
No, you can hear Greg Raleigh signing his papers to leave the band on that song and on those two songs, because this is the last record that Greg Raleigh did, and they started fighting because Steve Perry was the young buck that bounced him out.
How many records deep into Journey is this one right here? Like 2 or 3?
I'd have to look at the year. I think this is the second or third, and first or second.
Was Steve Perry with him the whole time, or did he come in later?
No, he came in on, I think, the third record and replaced Greg Raleigh with himself.
Gotcha. So once they started hearing him singing and whatever else, he was out.
He was done. Greg Raleigh was done. So... Do you want Wheel in the Sky or Feeling That Way Anytime? Journey or BOC Mirrors? Tell Dane on Facebook and Instagram.
All right. So Nick wants to know, ask Dog what's the worst that can happen part of our intro is from. Do you know what it's from?
When we play our intro?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
I don't know.
It's from Workaholics.
Oh, is that what it's from?
Yep.
Well, ask Dana. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was Simpsons.
No, that's from Workaholics.
What's the worst thing that could happen? I don't know.
It's Blake. The guy Blake with the curly hair.
There's a lot that can be followed with that question.
Thank you, Dana. I had no idea.
Yeah. Apparently, we favor Instagram, so Thomas switched from Facebook to Instagram so he could vote this morning.
Oh, we do not, Thomas.
There's no favoritism with Facebook or Instagram. And if there is, that's because Dana's doing it.
I am not favoring anything.
Yeah, she's a platformist.
Oh man, Fred wants to know if the girl you're going on a date with is the girl you stalked from Walgreens.
No.
Oh my.
No.
So, the girl from Walgreens, we never updated him on this, did get a restraining order.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I do see her from time to time in there, though.
Oh my gosh. All right, we got Journey, anything Journey, Feeling This Way Anytime, Drop the Journey Needle and Walk, Wheel in the Sky, Journey. Whatever. All right, we got Journey on Facebook. There's some debate about the line from the intro. We got Journey, Feeling This Way, Journey, BOC, Feeling This Way, Wheel in the Sky, BOC, Police, BOC, Feeling This Way, Feeling This Way, BOC, Wheel in the Sky,
BOC. Yeah, that's a 50-50
right there,
dude.
Almost. I think Journey...
Feeling That Way?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? We're going to play that, because these are a couple of great, fantastic songs. These are perfect. For a Friday. And again, listen for Greg Raleigh getting fired on this record when you hear Steve Perry come in.
So ridiculous. Let me flip this
over. Why did they hire Steve Perry before they got rid of Greg Raleigh?
Well, because they were going to work together. They wanted to bring him in, and the band was having a little bit of trouble. Greg Raleigh, there was some fighting going on, infighting. When they heard his voice, they're like, we got to have this kid. We want to pick him up. Let's see if he can do some stuff. And they thought he'd be a good accent to Raleigh. And then soon after he came in, it's like, Greg Raleigh who?
Yeah.
Yeah, he could play the piano great. Get him out of here. Okay, Joe, whenever you're ready.
You should do a drunk history of bands.
I know.
It's so fantastic.
Just your opinion and whatnot is the best.
Here's the thing, though. Ridiculous. I'm not going to go into all the details. This is classic rock. And I know there might be some young people out there, Dana's age, or like Joe, that don't know stuff about the music.
That's why I ask it, because I know there's people that wonder.
But drunk history, the point is you get drunk and then you tell things the way it is.
I don't need to do that. I'm in a hurry. And I just think everybody knows the story and they know that. So it's like, let's move on and play the song.
I know, that's your
mine's not drunk history. Mine's like in a hurry history.
Yes. Man.
This is like history that's not that historic anymore that everybody, I think, should know or already knows right now. So let's move on.
History in a hurry.
There you go.
That would be funny.
I love it, Joe.
That would be funny.
Hey, maybe we do a new segment like that.
Yeah, we should do something like that.
Like, can you play the piano? Good, you're fired.
Yeah.
That's the history of Greg Raleigh in a hurry.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, Joe, whenever you're ready.
Okay. 93.7, The River.
Open my eyes to a new kind of way. All the good times that you say.
Call the Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
Time for another exciting edition of
What's Your Deal?
What's your deal?
All right, it's exciting. Today's Friday. Anything at all you want to discuss, you want to talk about, you want to share weekend plans, advice, you want it, you need it, anything at all, please, 766-9370. As you know, Joe and Dana and I, we're going out to PBR tonight, so mm-hmm. if you're going down to the Golden One, swing by, say hi. We got to take a bunch of River Rockers on the shoot tour tonight, and the other thing, too, I think we're going to be at Sauced. I don't know, 4:45-ish, 5? We'll
yeah.
probably get down there. So if you want to come down, if you're in the area or whatever, you want to come down and buy me a belt, I'll drink it.
Yeah. Or, I plan on getting there about 5 o'clock and have some pre-festivities.
Or if you want to buy Joe a belt, I think it's size 26, third hole, to keep his pants up.
Yes.
He kind of does need that.
Yeah, yeah. You could buy me a belt, I'll drink it. You could buy Joe a belt, he'll wear it. but that's what we got going on tonight. And then this, Dana, after Dana, I think, does some digital trickery and some editing. Dana's always doing all this, like, millennial young kid stuff. And mm-hmm. Dana's, like, bouncing around. She's like, hey, guys, have you seen TikTok? And I'm like, what? What's TikTok? And she's like, oh, it's this new, like viral, like, video platform thing. Mm-hmm. And people upload stupid videos. And I said, well, isn't there, like, YouTube and, like, all this other stuff that does that? And she said, yeah, but this is the newest one. So I'm like, okay, what's TikTok? So she starts showing me this stuff. She's showing me these videos. I see this chick doing this thing. She's got yoga pants on.
Oh, that's why,
that's
yes.
That's why you stopped on it then.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my God, okay, stop. I like TikTok. Yoga pants, okay.
You know exactly what to show him, Dana.
Yeah, I told Dana, I said, sign me up. I'm a huge TikToker. I'm going to TikTok and roll.
Why is the show not TikToking right now, Dana?
Yes. So she shows me this thing, and she's like, yeah, they call this the flexibility challenge.
Oh, yeah.
So she plays the videos, and I'm looking at it, and Joe, he's, I don't know, looking at Bigfoot or whatever he's doing.
That's because they saw one.
And
Of course
they did. So I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh my God, these are hot chicks in yoga pants that are very, very flexible. So I asked Dana, I said, what's this flexibility challenge? And she said, well, watch. So what you have to do is these girls and these people, they lay down just flat on their stomach, you know, mm-hmm. head down, and then they take their hands and they put them behind their back and they interlock their hands. And then what they have to do, without rolling over or scrunching around, they're really flexible. They just lift their legs all the way back up to their hips, like in a splits thing, and then they sit up and stand up on their feet.
Yeah.
And
it's
I was
wild.
Like, Jesus Christ.
It is alien-ish that a woman's bones and hips and whatnot can move in that fashion. And it is really, really crazily flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah, Dana, she was playing the videos, and then I know why they call it TikTok, because the clock was TikTok, and I didn't know it. I sat there watching those videos for an hour and a half this morning.
Yes, you did. Show prep.
Yeah, I said, my, where the time goes. So anyway.
We're like, dude, we got to do the show. He's like, just one more.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
quick.
So then what I do is I tell Dana, I said, Dana, get down there and see if you can do it. So Dana gets down on the floor, and she's like, oh, I can't do it. I can't
no.
do that. And then Joe's like,
I don't think
see.
Real humans can do it the way them girls were doing it.
Well, you have to. I think those people, they probably do yoga or they're dancers or things like
you
that.
You got to be able to do the splits.
Super flexible
yeah,
people.
Yeah, man. Super flexible. So Joe finally, he chimes into the conversation like the Bigfoot video ended.
Yes.
And he's like, what are you guys looking at? So we show Joe that. He's like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. That's easy. And I said, show me. So Joe gets down without his belted pants and his no ass, and he's laying on the floor. And I told Dana, I said, Dana, run the hit the record. Hit
yeah.
this.
What, did you film it?
Yeah.
Yes, Dana did.
Lovely. I don't know what happened there. My finger slipped.
And Joe gets down on his stomach, and hey, I'll give credit where credit's due. Joe talks about all these, you know, people doing this. They got to be freaks of nature or women.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe falls into both categories.
Say that.
Yeah. Joe gets down there, and he uses his head, and he doesn't do it like the TikTok chicks, but he does this weird, like, I don't know. I think that you have found yourself in that type of position more than one time.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
And Joe kind of, yeah, I'll tell you this, there's no way. You put me on my stomach and put my hands behind my back, it's like the opposite of a turtle. I'm dead. I just, there's no way I'm ever going to get up and leave you there. My sciatic, my hips will blow apart. I mean, there's no.
You got a really bad back.
Yeah, there's no way. Just, I mean, I would just lay there and just like until I died, until flies covered my body and the crows pecked my eyes out. I would be dead.
You would need to Postmates Taco Bell or something.
Yes.
And just have it brought to you on the floor.
I would never be able to get up again. I would have to drink from a straw and just lick my food off the floor like
that's
a dog.
That's such a ridiculous analogy. You don't even have a fat belly like that, but that is funny.
Joe gets down there, and he kind of half-assed does this flexibility challenge. So, Dana, put that on Facebook so people can watch this. And
I got a rug burn on my forehead from it, though.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and now I got to go out on my first date with this thing. There's no way to cover this.
What day is it? Monday or Tuesday?
No, there's been an update. We can talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, there's a date update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Well, so the rug burn's going to show, basically.
Here's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. You tell this chick, hey, meet in the seat, feet on the street. There's a line for him, and you know why? Because I got on TikTok, and I did the flexibility challenge, and you just tell her, go look at this.
She needs to do it now.
Yeah, yeah. I can do this. So if you don't want none of this, there's a lot of other ladies out there that want this flexibility.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to lead with that.
Yeah.
I bet she can do it the real way. She used to be a cheerleader.
Oh, maybe she can.
I can't believe. I would think that would the way the girls do it like that would break a hip. I mean, I just cannot believe that the hips can move and spin. And that's amazing.
It's as if, and again, credit where credit's due. It's as if you have a uterus.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the way that you got down there and apprehended that move, it was as if you had a uterus.
Are we sure men don't? They're not used.
Hold on. Quote, unquote, men.
Well?
Because I'm quite confident men don't do that. But men, air quoting, I'm a little up in the air. Dan will post the video. Joe, the flexibility chair. Guys especially, quote, unquote, men.
Yeah, right.
Drop the videos and comments. Ladies, too, let's see if you can do this thing. I don't know what the hell it is. It's some newfangled something that Dana found.
It's fun, man.
Yeah, Joe had a good time, and he's got a red spot on his head. We'll come back, we'll do news, and we'll give you a blatant bribe. $1,000. It goes Minute Work on a Friday. Doc and Joe show. We got cash for you. Another blatant bribe. 7 minutes away. Joe will give you the code word. Text it back to 200-200. We do it each and every weekday, 5A to 6P at the bottom of each and every hour. So good luck on the cash. We'll do that here in a few minutes. Time for some news. The doomsday clock moves 100 seconds to midnight.
Ooh. Oh, that's frightening.
Yeah, they determined this yesterday. It's the closest point to nuclear annihilation since the Cold War. The doomsday clock moved 100 seconds to midnight, the closest symbolic point from an apocalypse since 1953.
Woo.
Man, what was it in 1953? During the Cold War, was it like a tick away from nuclear annihilation?
I believe we got within, what was it? I don't know, 2 minutes, something like that. Geez. Now we're at 100 seconds, so that's, you know, 60 seconds plus 40, so just over a minute and a half.
Yeah.
I think we were right around the 2 minute mark during 1953 in the Cold War, but careful, readjust your watches.
Well, I don't like hearing that at all. That's frightening.
Do you guys remember the Hard Rock Hotel that they were building in New Orleans that collapsed and people died? Do you remember that story? They were building this thing and the thing collapsed and there were workers there and a crane toppled over.
Yeah.
It's going back a few months, okay? Well, according to this, and this is unbelievable, it's been 3 months since they had this accident in New Orleans. The bodies of the people killed there at the scene, still at the scene.
Huh?
So since this accident happened and the crane toppled over and the building collapsed, the site's been kind of covered up. You know, there's all these girders and chunks of concrete and there's all this stuff sticking out. It's just a big glob of just twisted metal and materials.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's been bitching about this, saying, are you guys going to clean this up? Are you going to fix it? What's going to happen? What's even more horrific, though, is that the two workers killed in the collapse, the bodies have still not been recovered. the victims, 63-year-old Jose Ponce and 36-year-old Kenyon Wimberly. The bodies are still there, but the outcry ratcheted up because the two bodies are still there. One of the bodies, though, that had a tarp over it to conceal the body, was blown away by the wind, exposing the body to the public.
Ooh.
Come on!
So, this happened. I want you to think about this. This is January. This happened back in what? Into November? And this thing collapsed, and the bodies are there. They're just throwing towels over them, tarps, if you will. The wind comes along. It blows the tarp off. Now the body, they're clearly in decomposition mode.
Why in the world would they not have cleaned those things up?
I do not know.
That's unbelievable to me. It's so just disrespectful.
It's just disgusting. And again, we've talked a lot about New Orleans and just how corrupt it is and how dirty. It's an underwater city, and it just, none of it makes sense. And the city has blamed the building's instability for the delayed efforts. So the reason they can't go in is because it's still very dangerous. But it's like, come on. There's got to be something you could do to extract the bodies.
It's very dangerous, but not enough to, I mean, you've covered it with a tarp.
Yeah. Yeah, you got in there one time. That's a good point. You put a tarp over it. You couldn't have just quickly grabbed
Pick
the ankles.
Pick him up and got him out of there?
Well, I'm just saying, Dana, I know it's a little morbid, but yeah, yank the body out and get the body out of the site.
You don't leave dead
No, you don't want to leave dead bodies.
There.
No. And there's wildlife and decomposition. And it's just ridiculous that the bodies are still there. This is a fantastic story. A Pennsylvania man choked out his girlfriend after getting upset while watching the Trump impeachment trial.
Oh my gosh.
See what it does to folks?
A man who had been watching the impeachment trial Tuesday with Donald Trump allegedly choked and punched his girlfriend inside a Pennsylvania motel room because she wanted to watch something else.
Oh man, he wasn't going to change the channel, was he?
No.
He needed to get his fill of it, I think.
No, they were visiting from New York, so they're going to stay here in Pennsylvania. And he's sitting there, he's watching the impeachment trial, and he'd been drinking alcohol, oddly enough. And the woman told Clark, "I'd like to watch something else." He began to cuss at her, calling her dumb and stupid.
Wow.
She tried to talk to Clark while seated on his lap, but he began to choke her with his hands, causing her to have trouble breathing.
Oh, my God.
Then stood up and started punching her because he did not want to turn the channel. The cops did show up, and they did arrest him. The police arrived soon after the 911 call came in. I'm trying to find the name of the hotel because this explains it all. The name of this hotel is fantastic. They were at the Scottish Inn. This happened right around 7:45 p.m.
The Scottish Inn.
The Scottish Inn.
That's
yes.
Fantastic. I love how they're right just seconds before he lays this on her. She's sitting on his lap canoodling, but they're watching the impeachment trial.
Yeah.
They're not watching like when Harry met Sally. You know, they're not watching.
Let's think about the biggest thing you could be watching at the Scottish Inn. Motel porn.
Well, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
They're
motel
drinking,
porn.
You know, you're having a good time, but you've got the impeachment trial on.
Yeah, while on vacation.
That's insane.
That's fun.
We have not talked much about this on purpose, but we got the Harvey Weinstein trial going on. This caught my eye, and there's a video out there with all these different testimonies from all the different women and celebrities, and there's a lot of montages out there that recount their stories. One of the people, though, that was called to testify is Annabella Sciorra, okay? And I didn't know her name by name, her real name, so I Googled her because it said she was a Sopranos actress. Mm-hmm. Well, I found out her name on The Sopranos was Gloria Trillo. Okay.
You knew who that was on there?
She was one of the hottest flings of Tony's on The Sopranos, and he met her when going to see Dr. Milfy because she double booked him. So they ran into each other, and they became fast friends. She worked at a Mercedes dealership. They started dating. They had a really passionate love affair. They had sex at the zoo, and they did all this stuff.
At the zoo?
At the zoo in the daytime.
Where's he able to hide to do that?
They were in like an aquarium tank. They were watching the gorillas and stuff, and then they went inside to like an aquarium exhibit.
Huh.
And that's where they started having sex, and they had a pretty passionate love affair that went on all the while behind Carmella's back, as they all did.
Yes, as he was married to another lady.
Even though Carmella knew. And if you remember, Gloria Trillo was the one that threw the steak at Tony at his back because he had to leave. And then she said if he left that she would go to his house and tell his wife.
Well, that was probably a mistake.
As soon as she said that, well, he turned around and he picked her up and he body slammed her and choked her out and said that he would kill her as he spit in her face. It was one of the most violent scenes from The Sopranos.
It's real good programming.
It's a fantastic
real
show.
Good so she had to deal with that. In her acting ability,
yes.
In her acting career,
yes.
Why this other stuff is going on in her real life?
Well, now this allegation or the sexual assault that took place, she claims happened in 1993 to 1994. Okay, so this is before Sopranos ever started.
When did Sopranos start?
1996.
Okay, not much.
Not much before. And I'm going to read this, and hopefully we're all grown up to go through this, but this is what she said. And Annabella Sciorio, she's been in other stuff. She's not a big actress, but she's done some other stuff. Her most notable was The Sopranos. But what she says is they were at an Irish restaurant in Manhattan. Harvey Weinstein said, let me give you a ride home. So he takes her to her apartment. They say goodnight. He leaves. She goes in to put a nightgown on. She's getting ready for bed. Knock on the door.
Whoa.
She opens it. She's like, hey, what's going on? It's Harvey Weinstein. According to her statement, in court on Tuesday, he pushed open the door, walked around her apartment to make sure no one else was there. He began unbuttoning his shirt. According to her, he then grabbed her arm and dragged her into the bedroom. She said she kicked, she punched, she fought until he could get her hands above her head, and he pinned her down on the bed, and he raped her.
Oh, my God.
He then stopped the action and then finished on the duvet and her nightgown. And I quote, she said, he said, I have perfect timing. He then performed oral with her after that and then got up and left. And then when he left, he said, this is for you, according to her testimony. And there are multiple counts of all these women of her caliber or higher.
This is for you.
Yeah. The dude's weird.
Did he leave her money, or was he saying that this whole thing that just happened was for her?
Yes, yes. She said that she did not put up much of a fight after it started.
That hurts me so bad inside.
Because her body began shaking, and she said, I just went into shutdown mode. As when Weinstein did this, she said, this is for you.
Oh, man.
So he was doing her a favor in his eyes.
Yeah, sure, buddy.
So, these men that are this horror monsters, in my opinion, you know, and there's been several of them that we've seen, the Golden State, this guy, Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
So doing this lifestyle and acting like this, it tears your back up and makes you so you can't walk when you get in trouble. Because every one of these horrible rapists, every one of these people that do
with Bill Cosby and the walker and the cane.
The
and
Golden
now this
State guy. I mean, every single one of them, when they get caught now they've got other people carrying them into the courtroom.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a ploy.
But they can pull this stuff off.
Yeah, they can. Well, remember they saw the guy here, the East Area rapist, they saw him trying to pop wheelies and racing his motorcycle in speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Before he got caught.
And then he couldn't walk.
And then they go to court and they automatically age 60 years. Bill Cosby, he was out dropping roofies and chicks drinks. Then he goes in, he shows up like an old man with patches on his elbows and a sweater with a cane all shaky.
Weinstein's taking it the furthest. Now he's got two dudes carrying him damn near into this courtroom.
Yeah, he's on a full-on four-legged walk. And what they said on one of the news channels was that he did have some sort of severe lower back issue.
Awesome. I hope it hurts him so bad.
Yeah.
I hope it just has got him in such debilitating pain.
Scumbag.
For the rest of his life.
Scumbag. So there are other women out there. But when you see some of these testimonies from some of these actresses, not even a monster, not even an animal, because I would never, ever want to compare animals to Harvey Weinstein. But
why do they get a trial? I mean, I know we have a fair and just society, but at some point in time, you protect people, don't you?
Well, so at some point in time, you just got to go to the closest rusty shovel. You know,
I love that scenario.
Yeah,
you got to make it just clang as loud as you can, you know, off the back of his head.
There's just no fixing that.
No.
That story, broken. Gosh darn.
We'll come back. We got some more news. Joe's going to give you that blatant bribe. 200-200. Text it back. $1,000.
Okay. Your 6 o'clock code word is age. A-G-E to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000, 6 o'clock code word is age. A-G-E to 200-200. Good luck.
I don't know if you guys remember, we did talk about this briefly. We talked about some states that California had banned other state officials from traveling to because of their bigoted ways.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, the governor of Oklahoma, since we put a ban on our people going there, the governor of Oklahoma has put a ban on all state-funded travel to California. Oklahoma's Republican Governor Kevin Stitt, who's a first-term governor, announced the ban in an executive order yesterday, barring all non-essential travel by state employees to the Golden State, with exceptions for business recruiting trips, for college sport games, and trips by schools to participate in out-of-state programs. So this whole thing is just stupid. States are banning travel unless they need it. You know, there's going to be exceptions.
What happens if you do it?
I don't know.
I mean,
do you lose your job?
I guess we keep you at that point.
Yeah, do we keep you? Are you extradited to a different state? You have no statehood.
It's non-work. You're not going to a sporting event, but your mom lives here.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go see her.
I want to go back to when Reagan was a governor, or even before that. Let's go back to the first Brown. Let's go back into a time when we should have banned people from Oklahoma years ago.
Hey, if that was true, I wouldn't be here.
Well,
there's
Dana,
a lot of fairness in that right there.
Damn it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no way.
I love you to death. But yes, it is more dangerous having Oklahomans come here than people from Wuhan, China.
That's ridiculous.
Not right now. It's not.
No, it is more dangerous to have Oklahomans who are healthy, of sound mind, come to the state than people who are sick coming in from Wuhan, China.
You're so ridiculous.
Stupid governor.
Well, you don't have to worry about it now. These banned them. They won't be showing up anymore.
Yeah. It's just what we need. There should always have been a ban with Oklahoma.
So, I find that hilarious.
Dana, I love you. You're one of the few. The ban doesn't exist for you.
It's okay. I'm a couple generations removed from it. So,
okay. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people saw this on the news. It kind of popped up big and then it faded away. Jeff Bezos, you know, he's the guy over at Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
He got hacked 2 years ago, back in May 2018, after receiving a WhatsApp message from the Saudi Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman. And according to forensic analysis now conducted by this team that Jeff Bezos hired, which is probably far better than anything we have within the U.S. government.
One would imagine, yeah.
They say that came in and he was hacked by this Saudi prince. And they got in and they got some juicy stuff. And I guess Bezos' phone that they extensively vetted the research done by this consulting company. They said, yeah. Yeah, you were hacked, and we think that this is why the Saudi prince sent this WhatsApp thing, and he wanted to get into your phone and get your business.
No kidding.
According to the experts, they said the suspicious message, if I could speak today, contained a video file. Soon after the video was delivered, the device transferred hundreds of megabytes of data off of the phone, apparently without Bezos' knowledge.
Wow.
Oh my
yeah.
Gosh.
So they got a whole bunch of stuff, and now they're looking into this, and it's been on the news. But yeah, he did get attacked and hacked.
And people may think hundreds of megabytes, that's nothing. But dude, that's a lot if it's like files, paper files.
Oh, well, what do you think's on Bezos' phone? I mean,
it ain't going to be pictures and videos. He's going to have all documents.
Yeah, you're not going to see, you know, cats jumping up in the air because someone put a cucumber by him.
No.
You
all
know?
Code. You know, it's all documentations.
Actually, you would think maybe, you know, maybe Jeff Bezos, he's got all this high-level stuff, but maybe he's got so much high-level stuff going on in his life, he's probably got one of the most ridiculous libraries in a phone ever.
He's downloaded cooking recipes, you know, whatever else. That's all he got from it.
Yeah, yeah. All you see is all these memberships to the Dollar Shave Club so he can keep his head trim. You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell is
that?
His
old AOL account, things like that, you know?
Now we know why. We talked about this yesterday. It was a sad day here on the Dog and Joe Show. We now know why planners killed off Mr. Peanut.
Oh,
and
no.
Again, the service is going to take place during the third quarter of the Super Bowl, February 2nd in Miami.
I mean, perfect time for it.
Yeah. And this is what it says is happening here. It turns out all these execs there at the company, the Kraft Heinz company, they wanted to kill off the 104-year-old icon. And the reason they wanted to do this is because it had something to do with the weird phenomenon is to help people mourn deaths of fictional characters, okay? Ooh. According to a creative leader at Kraft Heinz, the man who came up with this campaign, he says here that people really have a appreciation and a deeper love when fictional characters are killed off.
No kidding.
It says here that they sent out a cryptic tweet with a link to a video showing Mr. Peanut sacrificing himself to save actors Wesley Snipes and Matt Walsh, leading the mascot to plunge to his death.
That's when the tree limb broke.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's how he died. So they're hanging on a tree limb. The thing goes over the edge.
Uh-huh.
And they're hanging on the tree limb. And in order for the tree limb not to come out from the side of the wall,
someone has to go?
Mr. Peanut extends himself out farther onto the branch.
Uh-huh.
Taking a hit for the team. When the limb cracks, he falls.
And then that's it.
And those two stay on the connected limb that's closer to the ground or cliff.
Why
or
those
whatever.
Two? Yeah. I mean, that's such a weird pairing.
Weird pairing. So then I guess, you know, during the Super Bowl, we will get to find out how they lay him to rest. And I hope they got some big cameras and big lenses because, I mean, that casket's going to be tiny.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's going to be just a little teeny weeny casket.
Maybe it'll be blue and diamond shaped.
Oh, oh yes, it could be, yes. And how many pallbearers does it take to carry a peanut? And I mean, does the Twinkie cowboy carry him?
I think so.
He's in on it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, who carries
sure.
the...
Mr. Clean will be there. He no. wrote a really loving comment to him.
That'd be the comedy would be Mr. Clean shows up and he lifts the casket up and he eats him.
No! Do that to his partner in crime. The Jolly Green Giant will be there.
Yeah, we'll find out what happens third quarter of the Super Bowl. This is cool, at least to me. The bulletproof 1928 Cadillac, once owned by the infamous gangster Al Capone, listed right now for $1 million.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's
Ooh.
Cool.
How do they know it was his?
Well, because they track this, and people know. They can go with VIN numbers, they can go back to original purchase points, and they can track these cars.
Do you think he bought it legally?
Oh, probably. Absolutely.
Yeah?
Probably,
with
yeah.
mob money?
Yeah, he probably did buy it and had someone else buy it and transferred it, yada, yada, yada.
Mm.
It's a 28 Cadillac Town Sedan. Check this out. Only has 1,111 miles on the odometer.
What? Whoa, that's it?
Dude.
That's it, yeah. It's got 1-inch thick bulletproof glass windows
that's
all the way around.
That's what I wanted to ask,
yeah. Side windows, those are all beefed up. And it says here that the windows can even be cranked up to allow a 2-inch gap at the bottom for the gunman to laterally shoot. So this thing was not only rigged to protect the people driving it, it was rigged up so they could fire from it.
It's got offense and defense.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really cool. It's really, really cool.
And I'm guessing that the steel on the sides of the doors and, you know, whatever else also beefed up so you couldn't shoot through that, too.
No, it says that's regular Cadillac steel.
I can't believe they bulletproofed in 1928.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you got to think, this guy had all this money. You've all seen the bootlegging and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to do with the money. I mean, this guy, he could have paid guys that knew nothing about cars. Is just sit in a warehouse for a month
and figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. You know, make it stronger. Here's more money. And
did they
know.
Have the bulletproof glass for banks and whatnot in that day and age?
Probably. If they used bulletproof glass on his car, I'm sure they did.
Wow, I would have never thought that from way back then. That's pretty cool, dude.
I don't know how much of it was being used, but it says here they had a police lights were mounted on it. It had a siren. There was a police police radio hidden in the glove box. It had all kinds of stuff so they could try to listen to, you know, police calls, mm-hmm. and they could go in and act like cops and they could steal other people's booze. And I mean, this thing was, it was all rigged up. So it's kind of cool.
That is cool. I hope it's not like the Tesla. You know how when they did the Tesla truck and they did that demonstration with those windows?
Oh, the guy throws a rock at it and it breaks.
Hopefully they don't do that to this car.
Yeah.
You shoot right through it. There's absolutely
like, oh,
no bulletproof.
I guarantee this was Al Capone's car. This ain't this Elon Musk junk. I guarantee you this, this had real bulletproof glass in it.
That. I can't believe like a Leno. Or someone like that doesn't already own this.
This will probably get picked up by a guy like that. And, you know, I don't like Leno as a host for late night TV, but as a car guy, this car belongs to him. Like, this is the perfect car for him to get because he'll take care of it. It'll go on and on and on with the legacy. You know, nobody's going to buy it or chop it up.
And he's not going to drive it around because it only has 1,000 miles.
No, he will drive it.
He will drive
it? Yeah, he will.
He'll put miles on it.
He drives everything he owns at least a little bit.
Not all the time, but I think he circles through. And I only know this because Dog has showed me the inside of this guy's garage, and he puts around the little battery tenders. I mean, he takes care of them. He keeps them going.
He has full-time... he's got an entire garage staff. He's got guys that manufacture.
Whoa.
He's got guys that build custom parts. He's got guys that service, guys that tune, guys that are on the internet. He's got an entire
team,
organization and team that's all they do is keep his rides serviced and he rebuilds them, paints them, all this stuff. He's got a full-on dealership of dudes doing custom crap.
You know that little dune buggy I have, Dana?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. He has the Manx original.
Yeah.
He's got the first one built.
Yeah.
The very first one built.
Are you saying that you feel very close to Jay Leno, Joe?
No, how do you find things like that? How does he get his hands around materials that are so hard to get like that?
Having a great conversation about rare cars and you bring up a Manx buggy.
That's a really cool vehicle.
Jesus Christ.
You're crazy.
Yeah. You're not going to believe it. He had an 86 Dynasty.
Don't you Dynasty up my buggy.
He had like the 19th Dynasty that came off the line.
1998 Pontiac Sunfire.
Yeah, those were nice cars in 98.
It's rumored that Lee Iacocca drove it. Okay. We'll come back.
Man.
It is a Friday. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. Also, we are going to do a round. We have not done this in a while. Know the Dog and Joe Show to find out how well you've been paying attention. A lot of new stuff has happened in our life, and most of it's quite boring.
Yeah.
But if you've cataloged it and you remember it, we got a pretty snazzy, very warm, just in time for January, Dog and Joe Show hoodie you can win.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Coming up, we'll do that. There goes Ozzy, Paranoid, with Black Sabbath. It is the Dog and Joe Show. We got another blatant bribe 29 minutes away, plus an exciting round of Know the Dog and Joe Show. The first time we have done this in a long time, first edition of 2020, we have a very collectible Dog and Joe Show, very fleecy and plushy hoodie with the Dog and Joe Show River logo on it. If, in fact, you can get the best out of five, you'll walk away warm for January in the brand new Dog and Joe Show hoodie.
Hey, they're really nice, too. They're cool.
Oh,
you guys will like them.
Yeah, it is nice. All black, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
To this now, and I have to be discreet, and I have to be vague, and I apologize because I have to protect the identities of those that may or may not be listening, or those that may have friends that listen, and this stems from something that was going on. I'll just leave it at this with my wife.
Okay.
That doesn't involve my wife. But I'll cut to the chase because I can't give you the details because I don't know who's listening. And I swore to secrecy with my wife and promised her that I would not say anything about this on the radio. And
so we're going to talk about it on the radio.
So you're breaking your promise.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, as far as the details.
Oh.
And it's a rare occasion when my wife says, you can't say that. So
Are you even capable of being discreet?
No, he's not. I can answer that for you.
It's not one of my best traits, Dana. No. I
discretion,
really,
holding back.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not things he's very common with.
Not a strong suit.
Yeah.
Not that I even want to possess.
I know.
Oh, man.
That's a trait he would try hard not to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll ask it this way, and I got to be vague with it as to what happened.
Can we ask questions about, like, are we allowed to ask a little bit about this or what?
Someone found themselves in a very sucky situation.
Okay.
And they reached out to someone that's not much more than just a average to very new acquaintance.
Acquaintance.
Yes.
Okay.
So not a friend.
Kind of a business partner.
Okay.
If you will. And what they asked him, and this is where I have to be vague, they asked him to do something that required quite a bit of time and travel. Okay.
Okay. And what was the traveling for?
That's again something I can't answer because it'll give way too much away.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
Travel. Can you say this though? Travel.
Can you say where from?
By
and where
using
to?
Different means, or travel by using their own means, like vehicles. Like, do they have to plane? Do they have to train or bus somewhere, or can they take a car?
They could drive by car.
Okay.
So somewhere far in California.
How far of a distance, time wise?
I don't know. Say 3 hours.
Okay.
Oh, that's a hell of a long way. That's a long way right
so
there.
If,
yeah, me.
Like just as an example, if you were leaving from here 3 hours there and then 3 hours back, so actually like more like 6 hours travel time?
Six and a half hours.
Okay, so they'd have to go somewhere and then come back.
Roughly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. So,
okay, that's a good little, that's a big trip.
That's a big deal, yeah.
I gotta stop, though, because I'm gonna let out too much more, and I don't wanna do that. I promise my wife.
All right. I think you've
explained enough there.
Mm-hmm. So, I ask you, what's the most absurd favor someone has asked of you?
Oh, that's a decent ask.
You answer the phone, you see the number, whether you recognize it or not, you pick up, and they're like, hey, bro, guess what? I got caught drunk. I'm in jail. Can you come get me? That kind of thing.
Okay.
Or the dreaded, especially on a day like today, on a Friday, you pick up the phone. They're like, hey, Carl, what's going on? Hey, Bill, how you been? Good. I thought you moved. Well, I did, but I've been back in town for a while, and believe it or not, I forgot to pay my rent, and I got kicked out, and I got to move again. Do you still have your Ford truck?
Oh man.
Boy.
Those are rough.
Can you get all hands on deck this weekend? Can you help me move? All I've got is a refrigerator and a couple of boxes that are already packed. I just need your truck. And then you're like, okay. And then you show up over at Carl's house. Not one thing's packed.
Yep.
He's got 16 refrigerators, a garage full of car parts. There's kids' toys all over the front room.
No boxes to pack anything in.
No. None of the washers and dryers have been disconnected. There's audio-video cords everywhere. There's clothes. I mean, it's a mess. We've all walked into that. Hey, bro, can you help me? It's just a couple boxes in a refrigerator. I got a dolly. I rented the U-Haul. I just need some hands.
And then you get there, and it looks just like it did before you left the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
It sucks. That's what we're talking about. But what is the most absurd thing someone asked of you as a favor? And did you do it or did you not? Because I think everybody, you go through life, you get jammed up, you know, and these people hit you. They're like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? And anytime someone starts a conversation like that, I always say, oh, man, I got all kinds of stuff going on. Why? What's up? That's how you respond to that when they go, hey, what are you doing Saturday?
Of course you would.
Yeah, you always lead with, well, I got a work thing going on and I got to be at a dinner. Why? What's going on with you? And they go, oh, well, I was going to ask you to move. And you're like, no, I got to do this work deal and I got to do some stuff down here. And then I'm going out to dinner. I wish I could help.
You got a work deal at 7:30 in the evening on a Friday. Yeah, it's weird. They do those to me once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to have dinner right after it.
And for those that are really deer in headlights stupid, when they answer the phone, they're like, hello. And they're like, hey, Carla, what are you doing tomorrow night? And they're like, nothing. How are you?
Oh, man. Don't call us deer in the headlights stupid, okay?
Yeah, that's just being honest.
Okay, but think about it. Because as soon as someone leads with, what are you doing?
They want something.
They want something or they want you to do something with you. They want you to babysit. They want you to go with them.
Why is it bad to say no?
Well, no, you can say no, but to eliminate conversation and to shut it down before it even turns into a conversation, you always say, I got all kinds of stuff going on. Why? What's up? Now, if it's a good friend or someone, that's when you tell them no. But if it's one of these acquaintances reaching out that wants to lean on you because they need a favor, that's where you always show up with the shield first.
Yeah, okay.
A shield.
I see what you're doing over here. You're giving us some anchorage. I don't like this. I don't like lying and using things that aren't really going to happen.
766-9370. What's the craziest thing or most absurd favor someone has asked of you? And did you do it? Did you do it? Did you not do it? Did you ultimately tell them no? How did you get out of it? Because everyone's been jammed up, and they've been asked to do something that's like, oh, my God, really? I want to help you, but this is just, it's so hard. This is so crazy, and I like you as a friend, or I know you well, and I really want to be there, but this just jams me up and makes my life miserable. And how dare you ask this of me?
Well, how do you know when it's too much to ask? How good is the friendship? How good is the partnership, you know? Before you can ask those big things.
And sometimes people find themselves in a bad way to a point where I don't even think they care how good they know this person. I think
they're just so scared, so needing, so worried.
They're in such a jam that they have to reach out to anyone that they can think of because they want to get this problem fixed or they need the help instantly. You know, they're in a bad way. So a lot of times it may not be a family member or a friend. It might be someone that
you haven't talked to in a minute.
Yeah, or someone at work that you don't even know. They call you up and they're like, dude, you're the only one I know that has a truck. You're not going to believe what happened. You got to help me get this from here to there. I'll even pay you some money. And you're like, how much money? And they're like, I'll give you $300. And you're scratching your head. And you're like, what is it that you want me to help you move? And they tell you six dead bodies. And you're like, oh, my God.
Man, do you help anyone move? See, that's the thing. What is the extent that you would go to? Like, it's going to have to be a really, really, really tight bond to be moving something like that.
Six dead bodies? Yeah.
Even one.
I would not help you with that unless it was your dead body.
What if your best friend called you?
Yeah.
Asked you that. Your very best buddy in the whole wide world.
Would I help my best buddy?
I am in a pinch, dude. Did you kill this person? You know what? I did.
Would I help him? Would I even contemplate helping the best friend of all time move a dead body that he killed?
Yeah, and he's not a murderer. You know this man your whole life, or woman, or whatever, and now they found them in a position with a dead body.
Okay, he's not a murderer, but he killed this person.
We'll say bar fight.
Okay. Am I going to help him transport the dead body?
Get rid of it so he doesn't get in trouble.
It's 7:10. I'm really going to have to think about this. By 9:45 today, I'll have your answer.
Never.
No, I'm not going to help transport a dead body.
You know that's been asked.
Oh, I know it's been asked, and I know people have helped. But there is no way in hell I'm going to help a buddy move a dead body.
I'm just thinking those are pretty absurd asks.
I'm not going to do it again. Scary.
I mean, my God, I can't imagine picking the phone up and having that thing ask me over the phone.
Here's the thing. For any idiot out there, and I'm sure there might be someone out there that's been asked something pretty treacherous like that.
I guarantee it.
I hear that come through my phone. Here's the thing. Hey, I've known you a long time. Click. Done. You're not, you know what? I know you and I, we've known each other. The longest guy I've known that I'm still in contact with goes back to kindergarten.
Okay.
And then third grade, and then like when I'm 5 or 6. All these friends that I've known since I was little. I've got some really locked in dudes, okay? And those are the only dudes that I hang out with, thick and thin, tried and true dudes, okay? They call me up and they say, bro, you're not going to believe this. I had a couple drinks. I was driving. It was foggy, kind of like it is today. Out of nowhere, this guy walked out of the field. Boom, I hit him.
That's even better scenario.
Yeah. I didn't see him coming. Dude, you know how much this car means to me. I can't tell my wife. I'm going to lose my job.
He's a homeless guy. You know,
yeah. It happened right around the corner from your house. Can you come help me? Click.
No way.
I'm hanging up on you.
You're hanging up on
him. I want no involvement with a dead body. I watch a lot of mafia movies. I have a kick-ass meat cleaver.
You'd leave your partner out like that?
Yes, I would.
But in a situation he didn't cause.
I don't care. Well, I'm not the wolf. I'm not Harvey Keitel. You don't call me. This isn't Pulp Fiction. I'm not going to help you with a dead body under no circumstances.
Even that scenario that you just described. Now, that one right there, I might help with.
Okay, let's flip this around. Let's say next year, God forbid, my son calls me and he tells me, oh, my God, Dad, I was off at school. We were at this kegger having this big frat party. Someone threw this kid off the balcony. They blamed it on me. Blah, blah, blah. Can you help me? What do I do? How do I get rid of the body? Or he shows up from school on break. He comes home for vacation and he's got a dead body in his trunk. And he says, Dad, I'm so scared. This happened at a party. I accidentally threw this guy off a balcony. Click. Get
no
out of here.
No way.
Absolutely. I am not going to take the heat for someone else's bad judgment or accidental whatever happened with a dead body.
Well, I don't want to take the heat for that either, but if Digger showed up with a dead body in
his
trunk,
help him move it.
I mean,
goodness,
I'd think.
Goodness gracious.
I'd think about it.
See, there's no thought process.
I mean, I don't know that I'd help him move it, but I mean, I would. There ain't no way I'd click my son like that. Click.
I would. I would. It's every man for themselves, and you got to make better decisions. And what you have to do is you got to call 911. You got to fess up. You don't call on people.
Well, first of all, I'm going to think where I went wrong, because I didn't end up with a dead body in my trunk in college. Now, why has my son got one?
Well, every time you get in your car, there's a dead body in it. Every time you drive to work.
Right back at you.
766-9370. Dana's got a bunch of people on the horn. We'll come back. We got to do these, and then we'll take the phone calls. Craziest or most absurd ask or favor someone asked of you. We'll
come. Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
All right, we asked, what's the most absurd favor someone has asked of you? craziest thing they've asked, and I'm not talking about crazy, like, hey, bro, you want to go bungee jumping with me? And we're going to jump off 20-foot a cliff with a 24-foot bungee cord. Hey, bro, you want to? Yeah. I'm not talking crazy like that. I'm talking something really absurd that really puts you in a bind where they ask a lot of you. They're jammed up. They're in jail. They're like we joked about, and that was a joke. Someone calls you at midnight and says, oh, my God, I've run a person over. Will you help me dispose of a dead body?
Well, of course that's a joke, but what I'm saying is guaranteed someone listening has had that asked of them. You don't think?
Don't doubt it, but boy, that's hard to believe. Yeah. 766-9370. What's the most absurd favor someone has asked of you? I appreciate you hanging. Dan, good morning. Welcome. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Dan.
This does involve a dead body, but a little bit after the fact, right? So my brother, who I have a very close relationship with, through the years, he used to work in the custom car business, and he's retired. And through, networking with all these folks, he's been able to build like a clientele based, operation, kind of like out of his garage and helping folks.
Sure.
And barter for things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guys that lives next to him was a member of the Aryan Nation, and he was a great guy, right? He didn't push his beliefs on anything. He was a good friend. He came over, you could tell he had all the tattoos that are synonymous with those individuals who believe that way, and he just died one day, and somehow in his will, and because my brother was close with him and did a lot of work for him, he left my brother his motorcycle and a vial of his ashes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so then, now at this time, I'm living in Germany because I'm doing military service over there. I'm on my last assignment before retirement.
And thank you.
My brother and I, no, I do it all over again. My brother and I, we would talk, but we wouldn't talk often. And he'd never call me. It's just one of those things I would always call him. But I get this phone call out of the blue, and he says, hey, Dan, I need you to do me a favor. And okay, all right, what's up? And he said, well, my next-door neighbor, he passed away, and he gave me his ashes, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with this guy's ashes. And I thought probably one of the best things we could do is honor this guy by spreading his ashes over at the Eagle's Nest in Germany, in Bavaria.
Okay.
You want me to spread this guy's ashes in Germany on the Eagle's Nest? Yeah, let me think about that one.
Wow. So
yeah.
Not only did your brother, I mean, so.
Because he's not a white, Aryan Nation guy either.
So no. Hold on, though. Was this at the request, or your brother just came up with this because he was involved in the Aryan Nation?
So, yeah, so I don't know if it was a request from the deceased individual or not, but my brother he's very liked in the community from everybody, so he will go out of his way to do things right for them, right? So if like the next-door neighbor has kids that are graduating college, he'll put something together, like a little envelope to help, give them cash in order to help them.
Sure.
He's very thoughtful.
So he's a gracious, thoughtful guy, and he wanted a real unique, customized dispersal of the ashes. And, I mean, that's very unique. And where you say he wants them placed, it's for obvious reasons.
Sure.
I mean, this is, Hitler right. headquarters. And he wants to go back and have you do this. So he's going to mail you the vial of ashes, and then he's going to entrust that you put them where he asks.
That's correct.
So what did you do?
Yeah.
So I kept quiet for a while.
You tried to avoid him?
Yeah, I tried to avoid the situation. I talked it over with my family. I said, Jim's, and my brother, he's really hard to say no to because he's such a kind and generous guy, right? So, I wouldn't go so far as to say that I had completely, nixed the idea, right? But I ended up, just keeping quiet so long enough that he had time to think about it and said, you know what? I thought about it. It's probably not the best thing to do. And I don't know what he ended up doing, but in that case, being quiet and having that awkward silence worked out for me.
So you never were asked again, and because you hem-hawed, he knew it jammed you up, so he had to come up with a different plan. Did you ever find out, though, what he did with the ashes?
I have no idea.
And you don't want to ask because it just disappeared, and you're like, okay, my hands are clean.
Right.
I don't even care what you did. I'm off the hook is how you left it.
Well, yeah, and then since I was already off the hook, you know, no, exactly. You don't want to bring it back up just in case he had him, like, hidden in a pocket somewhere and saying, oh, yeah. By the way.
So let me ask you this, though, Dan. Okay, you were lucky because you avoided him. You kept quiet. It went away. And a lot of people do that. They bury their heads in the sand just hoping that it just goes away. But what if he would have doubled and tripled down and begged you and constantly called you and said, come on, man, you got to do this. You got to help me out. It would mean a lot to him. Please, brother, please, would you have done it if he rode you?
So the cool thing about this situation is that...
I want you to answer me, Dan.
I will. The cool thing about being in Germany is that not only was I stationed there, but I was also born there, and we also have other family members there. I would have pawned that off to another family member.
Oh.
Okay, I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
So you would have told your brother, I'll take care of it, which you would have, but you would have been a middleman and given it to someone else.
Probably.
Why wouldn't you, Dan, have just said... And I know you said that he's a hard guy to say no to, but why wouldn't you have just told him, I disagree with this, it doesn't seem right to me, I don't want to be involved, no.
Oh, I did. I did say that, right? And of course, you know, the guilt trip comes from the other side. Yeah, but, you know, you're already in the area. If I was to do it, it's going to cost me $1,100 just to go over there for
yeah,
5
and,
minutes.
Yeah, and one of the greatest responses that you can give to someone that wants to put you in a corner is, so?
Oh,
so,
man. He's got a good relationship with his brother, though. I mean, that is a tough ask.
That's
a tough one.
I can't believe that you came with that story.
That's the first one.
Yeah, that's Woo. Fantastic. And so it did work itself out. You're off the hook, and we don't know where the deceased is. And you don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, I have no idea.
Think about this, though. Knowing the kind of guy your brother is, how you just described him, think about how hard that probably was for him to even ask you that.
Yeah, you know, he's a unique individual in that way. He's been around the Sacramento area for a long time. And like I said, he's been in the custom car business. And so he has a lot of friends. So
I want to cut you off, though, because this is when due diligence, personal responsibility, this is a good learning point right here. This is where people, and I don't care if some guy shows up with a truckload of manure or someone shows up with a truckload of furniture that they want you to help move, or you just walk outside and there's a giant hole in your backyard, or an earthquake happens only on your property, okay, or whatever mess or whatever problem you can envision that's a big mound of you know what. There comes a time, though, when you have to say, you look at this pile or this ask or this mess, and you say, you know what? This is so messy and stinky and rotten. I cannot include or involve anyone else with it. I have to be a good human, and I've been dealt this horrible blow, and it stops here, where you have to be a better person, and you don't include any other people because it's a mess, and I'm just going to clean it up, and for whatever reason, I have to deal with it, and it sucks. I'm not going to include any other people unless you can barter and get something else down the road. If you can horse trade, something else is the favor system. And I caution those who get into the favor game, because the favor game is endless. The cup never dries up, and it's a rotten road to travel. And I go through points in my life where, nope, no more favors. Then I get into it where I'll get into a couple of favors, and it works out to benefit me. But as soon as you can grab it by the horns and kill it, you're better off as a human and those that are, you know, encircling you. Because a lot of people, you know, they drop the hot coal in your hand. You're like, oh, crap, help me. They throw it to the next guy. They're like, well, I don't know what to do. And then you get this whole mess of just rabid hornet hell that never goes away, and it makes everyone's life miserable. So if you can stomp it and be the one that, you know, crushes the epicenter, you're better for it.
You have that, you do, but then you also have that to where something happens that's so bad, you can only think of one person that you'd want to call. You know what I mean? You've got that one person that you would trust enough to bring
help
this level of hell to their doorstep.
Yeah.
You know, and you hate to do it, but you wouldn't call nobody else for it.
Yeah.
You know?
And for that person, That's selfish.
It is very selfish.
It's
but
selfish.
When you get scared, you ask things that you probably shouldn't ask people.
Well, then, I don't know, get a bag, do some breathing exercises, think about it. I mean, I don't know, take a pill, have a drink.
Oh, by the time they've called their friends, they've taken a lot of pills and had a few drinks.
Contemplate those that are going to be affected by your bad decision or what you've been dealt. Don't include others. Everyone wants to reach for the phone. They want to stop by the house. They want to ask for help. And so many lives would be better off if people just dealt with their own backyard. So I appreciate the share, Dan. That was good.
That was really good.
Let's go to Steph. Steph, good morning. Before we get to you, Steph, Joe's going to give you the blatant bribe. $1,000. Text it back to 200-200. Good luck.
7 o'clock code word is jump. J-U-M-P to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000, the 7 o'clock code word is jump. J-U-M-P to 200-200. Good luck.
Steph, good morning. Appreciate you hanging. Welcome.
Good morning. So this is kind of a story that I will try to minimize it. My mom had a best friend who was a little crazy. I called her Crazy Lola, and she always wanted to get pregnant. And my mom had moved back home to Texas.
Everyone loves a Crazy Lola.
literally. And Lola had always wanted to get pregnant by her husband, and you know, never successful. She had a closet full of baby clothes. It was just very sad. But as I get older, I was heard that she had been giving her husband Viagra to make this process happen. Well, the doctor said, quit taking Viagra. It's messing with your heart. It's bad for you. So he told his wife, I can't take this no more. You know, we're just going to maybe have to adopt. And she refused to hear that.
She wanted to have a natural born and created baby.
She did. It was really sad because she would have been a great mom. Anyways, my mom's back home in Texas. I'm out here in California. I'm doing my thing. I get a phone call from my mom saying, you have to go to the hospital. Bob died, and you need to be there for Lola. She has no one. She's by herself. And I'm like, what do you mean he died? He drowned in the pool. I was like, what? So I go to the hospital, and there's this poor woman grieving over her husband, and there he is on the slab, on the bed, wet in his, you know, swimming trunks, and he's dead. It's very weird to see a dead body like that, not in a funeral, you know, not all made up. So
I
was a little creeped out, and I'm comforting her, and I'm telling her I'm so sorry, and, you know, I'm So now she's like, well, I got to get his wedding ring off. Can you help me? And I said, okay. So we looked for some lotion, and we got the ring off his finger.
Oh, my Lanta.
And that was really creepy, but I did it because she needed his ring. It's her husband, right?
Sure.
Well, then she drops the bomb. I wish there could have been one more way I could have got pregnant by him. I looked at her like, you've got to be out of your damn mind. And she never alluded to what she wanted to do. But once I had touched his ring finger, I'm not touching anything else on that guy, and you're out of luck, Lola. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Whoa.
You think she wanted that?
She, hold on, I'm confused here. She wanted you to do what now? Use adult medical terminology. How would you get her pregnant?
Use the term you'd have for a horse. Like, she wanted you to find a way to get a straw?
She wanted to extract DNA.
No. I think she was alluding to the fact, if I could have just got one more chance, I wish there could have been a way.
I think she probably wished she could have had sex with him one last time.
So was she asking you to kind of like maybe borrow your hand and turn a cheek, and she's going to straddle the corpse?
When it got to that, I looked at her and said, Lola, there's no way.
But that's what you're talking about. She wanted you to assist.
Yes, I am.
By helping, yes.
She was mentally unstable at that moment.
She was.
Yeah.
And I drove her home, and I felt bad, and, you know, it was very, very sad. But here's the creepiest part about this.
It gets creepier. Mother, the creepier part's coming.
It gets creepier to me because, you know, he was told not to take this Viagra, and he thought he was not taking it. My mom later told me that she was slipping it into his food. And then he dies of a heart attack in the pool. And the craziest part about it is
so I'm only using the name that you're using, and God hope that's not her legit name. You're saying Lola killed him.
No, it's not her real name.
Okay, but you're saying Lola killed him.
Led to an earlier death, possibly.
I don't know. I told my mom this, and I said, I want no part of this. I'm not going to the service. I shouldn't have been in that room. I shouldn't have been touching him. I touched him now.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you got asked to go do that.
So hold on.
Wow.
And what I want to do, Steph, is add a bright side to this. Hopefully you can appreciate and respect this, what I'm about to say. Is Lola still with us?
I don't know. I've had ties with her. My mom's in Texas. I don't need to be your friend. I was just
wondering if you can get a hold of her and then pass the number on to Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lanta.
Joe's approaching 17 months of celibacy. I think he needs a chick like Lola.
Oh, man.
L-O-L-A,
Lola. Lola, Lola.
Whoa!
That's a good one. That is a story right there now.
Steph,
yes, sir.
great story. Sorry you had to go through that.
No,
I appreciate you sharing that on the radio.
Okay.
And
one more thing. You guys are awesome.
Well, love having you. You know what? If in fact that's true, it's because of people like you and stories like that.
Man, Jesus. You guys sold some great ones this morning. Thank you for that.
Woo! Wow. What do you do with that? That's like, no, out, run, sorry, I can't even give you a ride home now. I'm out of here.
I never seen a dead body like that.
Yeah, not fun.
I never have. I mean, I've seen, obviously, you know, folks have seen them in funeral homes and what like, but I've never seen like that.
It's happened to me twice, and it's not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, dog.
A couple times for me, too.
Yeah.
Grandparents, and there's been my father. And
yeah.
I'll just tell you this. I'll tell you this. This is truthful. I say a lot of stuff about my upbringing. My dad, he had never looked so happy as when he lied there deceased.
Yeah, you said he looked like he finally was at peace.
Yeah.
That's sad, huh?
The elasticity and the youth came back to his skin, and he was pleasant, but it's I'm done.
Yeah. You should be. We shouldn't have ever brought that up.
766-9370. Biggest favor, craziest favor someone's ever asked you. Dana, do you have anything? We haven't shared any of ours.
I don't have any dead body stories.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah.
Boring.
You know, my stuff, I've been asked so many things. I can't even remember them, to be honest, because it's just, I always stupidly say yes to things. And so it just kind of, I don't even register it, honestly.
Anything big? I'm not talking Lola big. I'm just saying anything kind
nothing
of really...
that kind of jars your memory.
What about this, Dana?
Not particularly.
Anybody ever, because we work in radio, anyone ever, like a fly around excrement, bother you for concert tickets?
So that's the one thing, is I definitely acquaintances, I don't really hang out with them at all.
Funny how friendly people are when there's a show coming to town.
But yes, a show comes to town and I get a text message. And I'm just like, I don't really talk to you and this is the only reason you're reaching out to me.
Yeah.
Like, in that situation, you just feel like you're being used.
Oh, well, you are. Well, you are.
So
but how do you respond? Is it a blank response, meaning it goes blank, you don't respond, or do you just say, no, we can't get them?
Yeah, I usually say, what I say, and this is probably why I'm in the situation I'm usually in, is I will ask, and then if they follow up, then I tell them, oh, no, I couldn't get the tickets.
No. Just as soon as people, especially if you don't like them or don't hang with them and they ask, simply,
nope. I don't like being mean.
Nope. You got to shut them down, because if you don't shut them down, every time a show comes to town, they're going to ask you. And you're going to have to go through the rigmarole of saying, oh, let me see. I might be able to.
See, I mean, my way may have taken longer, but I think a lot of those people that used to reach out to me a lot, they don't anymore because the answer was no so many times
in
a row.
Joe loves to hear the maybe. Joe loves to tell people maybe. Joe loves to be the see what I can doer. And Joe loves it when he asks people something and they say, hey, I'll try to do that. That gives Joe such comfort. And
I will try to get him to.
I don't. There's people out there. I have friends. They go, hey, bro, can you do this? And I'm like, yeah, hey, bro, I can. But hey, bro, what do you got for me? You know?
Oh, my God. But you're not even buying the tickets. It's no skin off of your back.
No, it's not. And I'm not doing this for money. But if they can get me, you know, a bottle of booze, if we can do some other horse trade, like let's say they have a job where they can get me something, you know.
Always an angle.
Yes, that's what this is. It's America.
No.
Bartering, far more important to this country than, I mean, bartering was here before money.
Oh, my
bartering
gosh.
Was here before America was here.
Oh, my gosh.
That is a true point, but not because of that reason.
Yeah, you would trade cinnamon for gold and berries for meat. And that's how it works.
Cinnamon for gold.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Silk for honey. I don't know. Joe, anyone ever ask you anything? Outlandish, absurd. Ask you for a favor.
You know what? This is being honest. You'd probably have to ask you. or my buddies that what I have asked for. I would think I have been the one to ask for far more outlandish crap than anyone
else. So what Joe's saying is, boy, do you have to be in a bad way coming to me for help?
Yeah.
You want people to ask you for help. And Joe sometimes sits out of the corner saying, hey, I want to help you.
I don't know how to fix nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you want help to ride somewhere in the car with you, I'm right there beside you or whatnot, but I can't fix your car or your motorcycle or your home, or, you know, I can sit there and listen and be a good comforting ear, but usually I'm the one who needs the help.
I'm trying to think about what Joe has asked.
Yeah, I mean, what about, did he ask you anything when he was getting divorced?
I always ask you for emotional, mental help.
He has asked me stuff that I wish he never would have asked. I will tell you this about Joe, though, and because Joe knows this about me, I can't honestly, and Joe's one of the few people, I've got a couple good buddies, and then Joe, and some other people.
And then Joe.
Well, I'm just...
I'll take that. I'll take that after a couple good buddies.
Yeah. I got best friends, I got a couple of great buddies, a couple of good buddies, got some buddies I don't like, then Joe.
Then I'm there.
So, Joe has never asked me for money that I can remember.
I never asked nobody for money.
He's asked me for a buck. He's asked me, hey, you got a buck, or hey, you know, will you, you know, I don't have a dollar. I'm, you know.
How much interest was on that dollar?
Yeah, and I tell Joe, you know, your credit card's at 22%, 18's nothing. Come on, you know, right? you want a Snickers bar, bro, let's do this. No. He might, hey, you got a quarter, like we're standing around at a Coke machine, or we go to a restaurant. He's like, oh, crap. Like that. Hey, I don't have my wallet, will you buy me a beer? And I will tell you, because Joe knows how I am about money, he's always paid back. But Joe's never hit me up with anything over a $20 bill that I can ever remember. He's never said, dude, I don't have money, can you help me?
I've always thought that to be, and maybe that was my dad raised me, but I just always thought that to be a very disrespectful thing to ask someone, because it's so hard and to get it.
I just want you to know, in the future, since you never had, right now, I'll do it again. I think I did this years ago. No. Dana, no. Anyone else that might be in the building or vicinity to hear this, you need money, no. I won't give you money. And that's the one thing I will not do, and I'll just tell you, hey, bro, you got $200? Nope, I don't. But then me and another buddy, he'll give me $100. We're out somewhere. I'm like, dude, I don't have anything on me. Give me some money. He's like, how much you want? I go, give me $100. And then we'll stop, like, when we get back out or we get somewhere or whatever, I'll go home and I'll give him money.
Sure.
And same thing like that.
But that's different.
We're always good for it, and it's not really an ask. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I don't have my cards on me. I don't have nothing. Give me some money. He's like, how much you want? $100. That's always happened. But for me, the biggest ask, and it was money, and it was $4,500.
Wow.
And it came from an uncle, and he said, can I have this money? I really, really need it for this. And I told him, I can't, I won't.
Yeah.
And so then he said, okay, I get it. Couple days goes by, calls again. I thought we'd cleared that up.
Called again.
He asked you for it again.
He said, I really, really need it. I'm willing to sign an agreement, and I need $1,500. I gotta have this money.
Now it's went down.
So I sit down with my wife, and my wife and I have this rule. No, no, no. No money. Don't care blood. Don't care relative. Don't care nothing. He said, I need this, and I'm willing. I have to sign a contract. I will pay you back. So I said, okay, I will give you the $1,500.
You did it.
I gave it to him, and then he did not answer calls. Listen to this. I call him, gave him the money. I'm not hounding him for the money. We're just going to talk. We were buddies.
It's an uncle.
Yeah. Where's the money? Where's the money? Hey, what's going on? Then I'm chasing him down. This is going on 6 months, 7 months. I haven't talked to him. We were talking quite a bit. And then one day, we go to the mail, and an ex-girlfriend of his, from her check and her name on the account, she sent the money.
Wow.
Never came from him. She sent it off to clear up the debt for him.
Whoa.
So that was the big ask that I should have ran from, but he called back with a lower amount, and I helped him out. And it bit me in the ass, but ultimately, over a longer period of time, I got my money back.
You did get it back.
Mm. Yeah. Well, at least I guess he was sort of good for it.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, not from him. But yeah. That's the thing. Don't ever, 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 ever lend anyone of no relation, affiliation, money. nothing. Not even your children.
Yeah.
Not your spouse. Never lend money to anybody.
I've had buddies do things for me very kindly and things that cost a lot of money and I not ask for it, but it's done for me as a gift, you know, and I've always paid them back, but I've never really asked anyone for significant money ever in my life.
Well, you got a hell of a credit score. Good for you.
I know.
Let's keep keep those credit card minimum monthlies on time.
You know it? I do.
We're going to come back. We're going to do Know the Dog and Joe Show. We got to do Happy News over Sad Music. There's a bunch of stuff with Pigskin Pick Up.
Being Thomas, most of it being Thomas after, but instead, the ball is moved.
Omaha! Set! Down! Left side! Right side!
10, 9.
That's right.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are. We cannot wait until February 2nd down in Miami. Kansas City Chiefs taking on your San Francisco 49ers. Time for a Pigskin Picks update. Don't forget 93.7theriver.com. Make your picks. There's only two teams. Flip a coin 50-50, and you'll pick up, if in fact you win, $500 this round, courtesy of Stone's Gambling Hall. Also, that $50 gift card over to Sammy's Inside Stones and the coveted Dog and Joe Show customizable Pigskin Picks jersey. That's from California Embroidery and Design. So, let's get to the big news. This is kind of cool. You don't see this too often in this day and age. Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback of the 49ers, praises and calls Patrick Mahomes a class act, who reached out to him after his ACL injury.
Wow. Right on.
That's cool.
That's very cool. Stand up right there, man.
Yeah. You know, last season, man, it was tough for the 49ers, tough for Garoppolo. They hire this hotshot kid. You know, they get him from New England. He comes over. He was trained by the best, the GOAT, Tom Brady, and they get him here. He gets hurt. He's just sitting there. He's a lump of flesh that can't do anything. The ACL, it comes back. He's back on the field. Oh, my God, look at that. Super Bowl. So it's a pretty cool story. Jimmy Garoppolo, what he said was he called him out. He said, for him to come out of his way after a game and wish me luck and everything, he's a real class act. For him to do something as that, it went a long way. It meant a lot. Hashtag 49ers. Hashtag two hands praising. Hashtag 100%.
Aww.
Wow. Well, that's cool. That's very cool.
And the fact that Mahomes did this says a lot about Mahomes. But the fact that Garoppolo, and now that they're pairing up, you know, in Super Bowl Sunday, the fact that he acknowledges it, that says a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo, too. So, you know, with all this Antonio Brown garbage and all these celebrities that are always fighting, and you got Richard Sherman, he's going after this guy, and they're always just bashing. To see these two face off in the Super Bowl now, to know that they have respect for each other and that they're good guys, makes it even better in this day and age.
Why can't you do good combat without being monsters off the field? You know what I mean?
I mean, it softens you. It softens your edge.
Well, no. And here's the deal. I think a lot of people, they say this about football, and that it is a violent sport, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So they want to see that kind of attitude out of the players.
They want to see it perpetuated.
Yeah.
Off the field, you mean?
Off the field.
I think the guys on the couch, you know, they're like, Garoppolo, man, ACL, what a baby. And then, Mahomes, he's a chief, man. What warrior chief would ever call up the opposition and say that I like you? And, you know, they're sitting around and they got face paint on and they're drinking tall cans of beer and there's cheese dust all over their hands. They want blood. Dana's kind of right to
a
point.
So.
They want blood.
I disagree.
Blood in, blood out. I mean, they want death.
You're allowed to be buddies as long as you bring what you got in whatever sport you're playing.
This is cool. More Patrick Mahomes news. I mean, this kid, he can't get any shinier, but yeah, he can. I mean, that light will not dim. This is cool, though, and I don't know how many people know about this. He was a baseball and football player. That's where some of that sidearm that you see comes from. You know, that versatile sidearm cannon that he's got.
I did not know that.
It's so versatile, in fact, that he could also whip around the baseball. And his father, for those that don't know this, he played baseball 12 years in the MLB. He was a pitcher. So what you're seeing from Mahomes is genetics, some of, and upbringing. And Mahomes comes from an extensive baseball background to the point where he was attracting professional scouts when he was still in high school from the likes of the New York Yankees.
No kidding.
When Patrick Mahomes was in high school, he had Yankee scouts wanting a chunk of him.
Whoa.
So it's kind of crazy that They were looking at him, and it says the Bronx Bombers scouted Mahomes extensively, and it said they were very high on him, and they wanted him, and they said he was throwing fastballs that were touching 94 miles an hour in high school, and Mahomes knew how to swing a bat.
Man.
Whoa.
So this kid, you know, if football ever went sour or goes sour, he's only 24. He's got prospects in baseball. And there was one more thing here. I don't know what happened to my mind. It just kind of faded. Oh, the other quarterback, Russell Wilson. He was going to play in the major league.
No kidding.
And in college, he decided to hang up the baseball cleats and the small ball. And he said, nope, I want to be a football player. And a lot of guys are like, dude, you're a little short. You know, as a football quarterback, he's like, no, that's what I want to do. And so he jumped from baseball to become the Seattle Seahawks quarterback. So there's a lot of correlation and crossover between the quarterbacks and baseball in the current modern football league.
I got to, it just blows my mind how when you have a talent like that, I think for sports, you could probably pretty much do them all, I'd imagine, in some capacity.
Look at Steph Curry, his golf game. You look at Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, no slouch at golf. And again, golf, not as physical, but far more technical.
Jordan played baseball, too.
Jordan played baseball. Yeah, he was a minor leaguer.
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson did it. Oh, let's talk about Tim Tebow, your man crush, Joe.
Tim Tebow, he did it.
Yeah.
He was fairly decent at baseball, too.
Better at baseball than he was football. And here's what the kids have to know. If you want to marry a South African beauty queen like Tebow just did, all you have to do in your life is get one Heisman Trophy. Go out and get a Heisman Trophy, and you can marry any chick you want in South Africa or probably anywhere.
Well, then you got to really give it a go in the NFL and then be made fun of real bad because you like to say a prayer beforehand, and then they get disgraced, and then you go to play football or baseball, and then they tease you there, too.
And then what you do is you hang out with your mom, and you do commercials about Jesus or, I don't know what it was, abortion or whatever, and you let everyone know you're a mama's boy.
Then you get on CBS,
and you do a failed show where you run through the streets of L.A., and it gets canceled, and then you go to South Africa, and you marry the hottest chick in all the continent.
I was going
to
say, and then you don't backbite the people doing that to you, and you look like you're a stand-up fella, and then beautiful women like that just want to be with you.
Well, and you know
go
what?
Go Tim Tebow.
Hopefully the beautiful women have jobs, because he sure as hell don't have one.
Oh, that is awful.
Now let's talk about real football players. Tom Brady.
Of course we couldn't do this without Tom Brady today.
Yeah.
No, why would we?
We got all the pipsqueaks out of the way. Let's talk about men games.
Get out of here with that.
Tom Brady, this free agency thing, he's got to find out really quickly what it is he wants to do. He was on this ESPN Get Up Thursday morning, and Adam Schefter said he believes the Patriots will want an answer from Brady regarding whether or not the quarterback plans to return before free agency begins on March 16th. He says, I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting until March 16th. They're going to hold his feet to the fire, and they want an answer from Brady sooner than later. So I think we are going to know within, especially with the announcement of Eli Manning and him retiring today, I think we'll know what Tom Brady's going to do before month's end.
Whoa.
And whether or not, and there's people, I saw this on Facebook the other night, there was people out there saying that Tom Brady might go to the Raiders. And
you
again,
think so?
That wasn't legit. I think it's a lot of people hoping.
And
if they can bounce Derek Carr out of that job, okay, that's fantastic. And I don't care if he becomes a Raider or he becomes a Charger, because the Raiders are gone now. But the fact is, there's a lot of teams that are going to want a chunk of Brady, and he's still got 12 to 15 years of good arm in him.
That's ridiculous.
He does.
So what we can expect is weird displacement of quarterback, though, this year.
Yeah.
In the upcoming year, a lot of teams are going to have some weird quarterbacks.
They are. And the comedy is Philip Rivers thinks that he's going to put on a Dolphins helmet, but he's not going to get anywhere near that stadium. Yeah, he moved his family to Florida, and he's going to get there, and the Dolphins are going to tell him, well, we didn't want you to come. You thought you wanted to be on the... No, we said we're going to put you out at SeaWorld swimming with the Dolphins. That's what you're going to do, Philip Rivers.
No one told him that.
Yeah. Miami Dolphins. Man, that's a good one.
That's unbelievable. That is crazy that they're moving like that.
We talked about this kid, I think, a couple weeks ago. We kind of laughed at it. This whole, let's move the Super Bowl Sunday to Saturday.
Yeah.
You and I, we've talked about it for years. And so people want to move it Dana to Saturday.
Which is a fairly decent call when you think about the way you'd watch it and party with it.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too. If they move it to Saturday, I think the Super Bowl's smart enough to know, too, that they lose a lot of that Monday and that week talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a day for everyone to decompress, and I think it fizzles out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they do it on Sunday, you come back on Monday, it still keeps going and going and going. And it's smart on their part, but for the people that watch it the way we do and want to party and do everything the Super Bowl's become, Saturday's perfect. You know, because Sunday you just lay there in traction.
There's a buffer zone there, man. It helps.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're in traction. You look like a mummy. You got ice on your head. You got heart palpitations. You know, you're sweating. You're detoxing. And then Monday the alarm goes off. You're ready to crack back to work. Everyone would love that. So this kid had 2,000 signatures, and we laughed at him, okay? So he started this petition on change.org. He is now up to 21,000 signatures.
Holy moly.
Well, that jumped just a little bit.
Yeah, it jumped a little bit. So he gained, you know, 19,000 or so. But it's never going to happen. And Roger Goodell doesn't want it. For whatever reason, they don't want it. But it would be perfect. And they did a survey, I guess, last year. And what they found is 17 million U.S. employees will miss work the day after the Super Bowl. So that's what this high school kid's really riding on. He's like, hey, whether you think it should be moved or not, we're going to save the workforce 17 million sick calls if, in fact, you move this a day back. So,
and what do they think watches it? Was it in the hundreds of millions that watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I don't think it's...
I mean, it keeps jumping each year.
What do we have in the U.S., Dana? 345, 353 like million.
And it's not every, you know, it's not every.
It's like, 92 million watches.
It's a lot.
Something like that.
It's a lot.
But when you think about that, though, 17 million people miss the next day of work. That's a huge drain for employers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're going to have to get a lot more than 21,000 signatures.
Yeah.
And probably like a million at least even be looked at.
You could have half the nation, and if Roger Goodell doesn't want to do it, he won't. And it's always been on Sunday. And you know what? There's a lot of guys out there. If you talk to some of these hardline guys that get up as early as we do that have to go out and swing hammers or do real jobs, I'll bet you a lot of these guys, if you asked them, a lot of them would say, Super Bowl Sunday belongs on Sunday. If you can't drink 16 kegs of beer and be to work on time, then you're not a man. You know, there's some people out there that would probably fight for it because that's the heritage.
Well, I think you'd have to listen to people like that. Anybody that can drink 16 kegs of beer and get up at 7 in the morning and still swing hammers needs to be heard. I mean, that's a man, actually.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's not a man. That's a myth. That's a machine.
I would listen to what he said when he spoke. I guess the whole world would probably hear him because that'd be a big fella.
I want to talk about this guy, and I don't know how many people are familiar with this dude. His name's Mike Florio, okay? And Mike Florio, he runs a website, and he's a sports guy online, and he does a thing called Pro Football Talk. He's the founder, okay? And I guess he does podcasts. He's got websites, and he's got betting stuff and all this stuff. So he was talking with Peter King, and Florio suggested that the 49ers need to send a message to Mahomes, and they need to hit early, okay, or at some point in the game, they need to hit hard, they need to hit dirty, and they need to hit late, meaning hit early in the game, but when he's going out of bounds, late with the ball. They want late hits early in the game, and what this guy's saying is that this is the only way you're going to stop Mahomes is by playing dirty, okay?
Wow, that's not nice.
He says this. He said, at a certain point, you trade the risk of 15 yards if you can send a message, and football is still a physical, violent game. If you can hit him, even if it's close to the sideline, even if he started the slide, when a championship ring is riding on it, I think there needs to be a different analysis. And he goes on to say that, yes, this is the way that it should be, and he's saying, I need to be careful here in suggesting this, and I'm not saying I want Mahomes injured, he said, but if you want to slow his roll, you need to scare him in the beginning of the game with late hits. And so he says this, and now people are going crazy, thinking that he's put a hit out on Mahomes, wanting the 49ers to listen to him, and I guess he has some credibility in the football world, and people are just, they're disgusted by the thought that he would say that you should late hit. I'm reading everything this guy said. It makes good sense, what he's saying, and I don't think that he's a mean guy. I think the guy knows the game, and he's calling it like it is, and he's saying, hey, if you can get hit late or get dirty and get away with it, maybe you should try it.
Man.
It's a good tactic.
No, playing
dirty's never a good tactic. Oh,
so in order to beat the better quarterback, you got to hurt him. Well, that's a good tactic.
No. He never said hurt. Scare him with late hits. Not hurt him. He doesn't want him hurt.
Yeah, because he can't come right out and say hurt. But that's what he means when he's telling you to hit him while he's sliding. Hit him hard by the sideline. He's wanting some pain.
Well, he doesn't want to hurt him. He wants to scare him to slow him down so they have to think about it. And here's the thing.
You can't beat him with your own skill.
Well, the 49ers, this is going to be a good game if they both play their good games.
They can't beat him with their own skill. They don't have to play like that.
They don't, but he's saying that might help him if they scare him and slow his roll a little bit. And again, there's penalties, and they're going to be watching this stuff, so it's a big, big gamble. He's just saying it's something that should be considered, because if he breaks out, because Garoppolo, his arm's not like Mahomes. Mahomes is the better quarterback. San Francisco's got the better defense, and that's why this is exciting, is you got a better offense, and you got a better defense, and there's no slouching going on either side for 49ers, and the defense isn't as good for Kansas City.
That's poor. What do they call that? I forget the term. You probably know it more than I do. Wasn't that called headhunter football back in the day? And they put like third
New Orleans and all those teams,
four stringers in there, and then they'd send them out to blast whoever it was they were after. And then it wasn't like their main players that got kicked out of the game. It was the people they didn't really. Who the hell's Bill Spurlington? He threw a hit on that guy.
Bill Spurlington's that guy that drinks six kegs of beer and swings a hammer Monday through Friday, but on Sunday we call him the wrecking ball.
He's out. Well, he didn't really play for us anyway.
The Saints got in trouble for that. Yeah,
yes.
They were bonusing and headhunting and putting lists of names together that they wanted their team to take out of commission.
And they were taking them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check this out. Dana, we don't have time. It's 8:14.
We are out of time, we need to do Bon Jovi Jumble.
Oh, it's going fast today.
Dana!
You didn't do it?
I didn't do it. You didn't remind me.
I thought you did it.
I wonder who has it written down here.
Okay, whoops.
Do you have it written down, Joe?
Yeah. Bon Jovi Jumble. I should have told you at 7:15 today.
Yeah, thank you for the updates.
Sorry about that.
Okay, I wanted to come back to this fantastic story about Aaron Rodgers and his family and how that'll wait. Okay,
That's a good one, though, huh?
It's a great story, yeah. We will come back. My apologies. We got to get to a Bon Jovi Jumble. Tickets on sale today, 10 a.m., and we'll give you a last chance to win them if you want to see it. Show's going to happen June 13th. Bryan Adams, Bon Jovi. We'll come back with a Bon Jovi.
916-766-9370.
Well, I'm very disappointed in the both of these two, Joe and Dana, because nobody reminded me at 8 o'clock to do the Bon Jovi Jumble. Joe, here's the thing.
Dana has a lot on her plate on Fridays.
Yes, Dana I give a pass to, because Dana's in there doing like 15 things with one hand. Joe's just in here surfing Bigfoot porn.
Today it's cowboy boots. Yeah. It's not disgusting, Dana. It's research.
Bigfoot porn.
But Joe, he's got written in his day planner that he's supposed to remind me.
I had it 7:15 every day, and I don't believe I've reminded you any day.
You've done nothing. So our apologies. 8 o'clock, time for the Bon Jovi Jumble. Show's going to happen June 13th. Bryan Adams, Bon Jovi. We're going to play these songs. You got to correctly identify the songs in order by title. These could be just Bon Jovi, just Bryan Adams, or both. If you can do it, you'll win the tickets. First one through, 766-9370. They're officially on sale today, 10 a.m. Okay, here's today's Bon Jovi Jumble. Take a listen.
Driving home this evening.
Ooh. What was
that? Whoa!
I never know what he's got going on over there.
You sit in the same room as him.
But I can't see what he's doing.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not listening. Again, he's watching, Yeti mating with Bigfoot.
Oh,
there's not
gosh.
Bigfoot porn available.
Have you looked?
No.
You know what? I'm not into Bigfoot, but no, Joe's right. It doesn't exist.
Oh, man.
Take another listen. Bon Jovi Jumble. All songs in order. Correct title.
Driving home.
Seven six six 9370. First one through. If you know all the songs in order by correct title, you will get tickets for the June 13th show. We'll come back after Phil Collins. Take one more listen.
Driving home this evening.
I think it's Phil Collins in the air tonight. We got a blatant bribe for you as soon as we give you the Bon Jovi Jumble. Tickets officially on sale for the June 13th show today, 10 a.m., Bryan Adams, Bon Jovi, a golden one. So take a listen to this. We're going to play it again. All songs, correct title, in order. If you can name them, you'll get the tickets. Take a listen.
Driving home this evening.
like that flamenco guitar.
That's so creepy.
That's beautiful.
In right there.
Let's go to Shelley. Shelley's got the Bon Jovi jumble. Let's see if she can correctly identify all the songs in order. Shelley, what do you got?
Cuts Like a Knife.
Nice.
Runaway.
Okay.
And Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman?
Okay, that's fair. But you did miss a couple other Runaways, but it was the same Runaway song, just different parts of the song, all stacked up.
Oh, you dirty,
yeah,
dirty,
she got
dirty
it.
Dog.
Whoa!
Yeah, I'll give it to you, Shelley, but it was Cuts
Thank
Like a
you.
Knife. It was Bon Jovi Runaway, Bon Jovi Runaway, Bon Jovi Runaway, and Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman?
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Did you know that, too, as you were listening? Did you know he had it cut up like that?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take another listen, Shelley. I'll put you on hold. So here's Cuts Like a Knife, Bryan Adams.
Driving home this evening.
Okay, there's your first clip. Now here comes Runaway. First Runaway. Here comes second Runaway. Here comes third Runaway. And here comes Bryan Adams. Have you ever really, 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 ever really loved a woman?
Oh, yes. He's got the creepy guitar.
Yeah, that's, okay. That's Bryan Adams. So, Shelley, nicely done.
Yeah.
You got our last pair of tickets for the Bon Jovi Jumble. Enjoy the show. 10 a.m. today if you want to buy the tickets. They go on sale officially. Now it is 8:30, so it's time for a blatant bribe worth $1,000.
8 o'clock code word is prize. P-R-I-Z-E to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000 in the 8 o'clock hour, the code word is prize. P-R-I-Z-E. To 200-200. Good luck.
All right, so now what we're going to do, we have this, I don't know what Dana was doing. She was going through, like, the big prize closet, and she found this very plush, fleece, Dog and Joe Show River hooded sweatshirt.
Warm, too.
Yeah, and it's nice. And she's like, what's this doing here? And I was like, I don't know. She said, well, we should give it away. And I said, Dana, when's the last time we played Know the Dog and Joe Show? And she said, let me check Joe's calendar. And she looks at Joe's calendar, and she says, I don't know, because Joe doesn't write anything down.
It's blank.
Yeah, I should have, but I completely forgot when we played it last.
So Dana came back and said, well, dog, it's been a long, long time. And I said, well, okay. Let's play Know the Dog and Joe Show.
Game on.
Lots of stuff has happened, none of which is exciting to the show, while we've been on hiatus from the game. So if you've been listening and you've cataloged all this just useless information.
Mm. Riveting. It's riveting useless information.
Compelling. Life-altering. If you remember all this stuff that we ask you, best out of five, we'll hook you up with the Dog and Joe Show hoodie.
Woo!
So 766-9370. If you want to play that, we'll do it after Pearl. Wow, you can tell it's a Friday, man. We want to get the hell out of here. There goes classic rock redefined with Pearl Jam. Time for Know the Dog and Joe Show. It has been so long since we played this game, I cannot find the intro.
Whoa!
I cannot locate it. And, you know, you don't need the fancy intro. It's all about the game. Nobody watches The Price is Right because they want to hear what's-his-name say, come on down! No, they want to see pricing games. They want to know how much stuff costs. They want to get to the game. No one wants to hear the stupid Jeopardy music at the beginning. They want the questions.
No, no, why would they?
So I don't know where it is, but we will locate it. It's been a long time since we played. I don't even know how long. So, Know the Dog and Joe Show is simple. 766-9370. We give you five skill-testing questions to see how well you know the show or how well you paid attention. You got to get all of them in order correct. You cannot miss one. If you do that, you'll get the Dog and Joe Show 93.7 The River hoodie.
Got to get all five correct today.
Should we do three?
Typically, we usually do three.
Three or five is how we do it, but a five and five is pretty strong showing.
No, we'll do three. We haven't played in a while. Okay, so let's see here. Dana, who do you think is most worthy?
Why do you always ask me this?
You're going to put her on the spot like that.
Well, because you talk to all these people. I'm looking here and all I see is a screen of names. I don't know what these people
know.
Are like.
You always...
Which name grabs you?
I don't like being put on the spot like this.
Okay, I'm going to go with Megan. I'll go to Megan. Megan, good morning.
Hi, Megan.
Hey.
Megan, how often do you listen to the Dog and Joe Show?
Every day.
Aww.
Well, thank you.
How often do you like the Dog and Joe Show?
Say what? What?
Nothing. I'm not going to beat you up. What you have to do is you have to get all three of these questions, three in a row correct. If you can do that, we will hook you up, Megan, with a Dog and Joe Show River hoodie, okay?
All right, awesome.
All right, best out of three. And usually what we do, Megan, on the Know the Dog and Joe Show segment is give you stuff that we've talked about in the past on the show. Please forgive me because you're going to be a test rat on this. We're going to give you a question about something that's never been discussed on the show, but you should still be able to easily place the person on the show with this question.
Oh, whoa. Right.
These are always a little scary.
Yeah, and for Joe, they should be.
I know.
For Joe, they should be.
Who on the Dog and Joe Show turned a heterosexual woman into a lesbian?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, God. Joe?
Did you say Joe?
I said Joe.
Yeah!
Oh, that's just...
Yeah!
Absolutely absurd. Just absurdity. I mean, by ask alone, yes, you're correct in that, but I gotta think she was probably a lesbian beforehand.
No, we have not discussed this yet, and I thought, what a perfect opportunity to blindside Joe with a big truck.
You're so dirty
that's
sometimes.
Just ridiculous.
Dana, do you know this story?
Do you know this story?
Yeah. Joe, he was kind of talking to this girl on Facebook, and she was sending him text and all that. And she sent Joe some pictures, and Joe's kind of like, hey, what do you think? Should I do this? And I said, yeah, I think you should do it. So then Joe says, okay, I'm gonna correspond with her. And he starts talking to her, and then he's like, I don't know, man. She seems a little crazy for me, man. She's a little out of my level. And then he got a little lonely. So a couple weeks or a month go by, and then he reaches...
No. It wasn't even that long.
Oh, how long was it? A couple days?
Yeah. It wasn't even that long. There was
a day?
There was a proposition, and then I mauled over it, and I came in here and talked to these two about it, and I thought about it for about a week.
Okay, about a week.
That's it.
So then Joe reaches back out and says, you know that proposition you hit me with? I think I'd like to take you up on that.
Oh,
and she doesn't respond to nothing. And then next thing Joe shows us is pictures with her girlfriend.
No. She doesn't respond to nothing. And then I you know, because I'm not a chaser. So I wait 2 or 3 days. And I go, you all right? Is everything okay? Because we've been talking, back and forth. I said, is everything okay? Are you all right?
Yeah.
And I just get this back. I have a girlfriend. Simply put. And I was like, what the hell? Honestly. It's like that with you, huh? Maybe I should have called you.
Yeah.
You know, and I got booted. And so technically, I don't think I did because I didn't get to go over there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Yeah, but just that alone, no man out there, and I know a couple of men probably could say, but you turned a heterosexual woman with children into a lesbian.
By ask, it would sound that way. But I don't believe that's the way it works out.
Is there any one thing I lied about, Joe, tonight? Did I fluff anything up?
No, there's no embellishment there. But, I mean, I did not get to share time with the woman, so I don't know how I would have turned her into a lesbian.
I think
just being in her proximity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just thinking about it. Goodness sakes.
Back to you, Megan. And you know what? That question will probably come up on Know the Dog and Joe Show quizzes for years to come.
It should, because it boggled me then as still as it does now.
And when you see Joe out, like if you're at Rayleigh's or Save Mart, or you see us tonight at PBR, ask Joe. Go, Joe, is it true? Did you really turn a woman into a lesbian?
Let's refrain from that.
I mean, ask him, and if he's got time, he can give you more details, because it's a fascinating story, and it's true.
It's just ridiculous.
Megan, back to you. Nice job. You're on the board. 1-0. Okay, this is, a fitting question for the last question. Who on the show has a collection of Liz Phair, Melissa Etheridge, and Indigo Girl CDs in her car?
Oh, in her car?
It's clearly about Joe.
Dana?
No, I said in her car.
Oh, yeah. That's not even a fair ask.
That's not even true.
No, I know. And I slipped with the her, but it's more
you
funny.
You did.
Yes. Now, that would be Dana.
Dana, not true.
She has a collection of Melissa Etheridge, Indigo Girls, and Liz Phair CDs in her car.
I think the more accurate question would be, who owns a Subaru?
Yes, that's right.
Well, you just took the third question off my list.
That was two questions.
Let me ask you this one then. Okay, I'll give you an easy one. Who on the show has a Weimaraner?
A what?
A Weimaraner.
Weimaraner. Or Weimaraner.
Also pronounced that way, is it?
Well, Weimaraner, yeah. Who on the show has a Weimer on her?
We'll say Dana.
Oh, no.
I do not have a Weimer.
Are you kidding? She did all that tough work.
Yeah. That was a hard ask right there.
She did good, though.
She did very good.
Megan, you know what? I thought you were going to do it. I thought that was going to be an easy one.
I did, too.
I'm sorry. So we will go to Michaela. Michaela, can you still? Who on the show has a Weimaraner?
You do.
Yes, I do.
Good job, Michaela.
Nailed that right now.
You're on the board. Nice still, Michaela. We go to question two. Who on the show started an art collection with moss? Who on the show started an art collection with moss?
Yeah.
Dana?
Yes, oh, Dana.
Yeah.
It had to be, right?
Yeah, you're right.
The weird way you ask things, though. Like that.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. She went out and bought this board that has moss on it. She hung it in her living room.
You say that like I'm not going to create one, too. It's happening.
A little more than just that.
Yeah. It is.
It was. It's wall art is what it is.
And
a
it was
scene
custom
was created
for me.
Oh boy! I'm going to bring out Dana's. I'm going to accentuate Dana's lifestyle and her Subaru with moss on a board, and she'll hang it in her house. And
it's living art.
It's so beautiful.
That's awesome, huh?
You just don't understand art, man.
No, I don't. Andy Warhol, what a hump he was. His stupid stuff.
Hey, I have Andy Warhol in my house too.
I guarantee you do. Probably.
Michaela, nicely done. You're on the board with two. You get one more, and. You were going to get the sweatshirt, and I guess we'll close out with this one. Who on the show is approaching 17 months of celibacy?
Joe, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Why? I have a date this weekend.
That doesn't mean that you're not still celibate.
Yeah, so what? I'm
you know
trying.
What? Hey, hey, have fun holding her hand.
I thought we were giving listeners
gifts. Which base did you get to? What?
Yeah. Hey, man, I got to sixth base. I held her hand and gave her a kiss on the cheek.
You're an idiot.
Sixth base?
We love you, Jeff.
I don't work that way. I'm taking my time.
You are a very chivalrous man, and
I
appreciate that.
I am taking my time.
Michaela, nicely done. You know the Dog and Joe Show, and hang on. We're going to hook you up with the Dog and Joe Show hoodie. Good job.
Yeah, great job, Michaela.
We're running out of time. We got to do happy news still. We got to talk about Joe's date. He's going to go out this weekend and turn another heterosexual woman into a lesbian.
That's ridiculous. That didn't even happen the first time.
Yes, it did.
No, I don't know about
yes,
that.
Yes, it did. So we'll come back with that. Then we got 93 minutes nonstop commercial free. It's Tom Petty, American Girl, Dog and Joe Show on a Friday. Hopefully we have time to get to happy news over sad music. It's a beautiful Friday out there, and even though it's beautiful, we know we can make it even more beautiful with happy news. Mm-hmm. But on a day like today, man, the sad music is just terrible.
It really is. It's awful.
And we would have done it right here, but Dane and I both, man, we're clamoring. We got to get the update on Joe.
Yes!
This date.
Oh,
if you go back to the podcast.
Trying to sneak out without telling us, huh, Joe?
No, I would have told you. Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, it's not really huge, huge, big stuff. It's just going to be a fun little meeting.
So what we talked about yesterday on What's Your Deal, the segment we do when we first get here, we talked about it yesterday if you want to go back on podcast. Talked a little bit about it today. You found out during Know the Dog and Joe Show that Joe has turned one heterosexual woman with children into a lesbian.
She was already a lesbian, man.
Was that with her husband that she had kids with?
Well, she was like a bi-lesbian. Sexual.
Bisexual.
Yes.
That's the term, Joe.
She was a lesbian in her life.
Okay.
Then found love with a man, had some children.
Uh-huh.
And I guess can also...
So she was bisexual, and then she met you, now she's full lesbian.
No.
That's what you said.
That's not at all what I said.
Okay, so she was going back and forth, which fine, hey, to each their own. Mm-hmm. But Joe sealed the deal, so okay, even better.
I shared no time with her, and she was already that way.
Yeah, but you confirmed it.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did.
You confirmed it.
Well, after what you did to her, who responds?
You didn't do anything to her.
I did nothing to her.
Who responds back with, I'm with a woman now?
I don't know.
Yes.
I've never seen that in my life.
That's someone that is on the fence with men and women that does not want you as a man.
Well, that is a weird thing to do, but look at the most previous text before that. I have a girlfriend now.
Yeah,
Yeah. I mean, it was.
She wanted you.
There was a clear invitation for me to come over there.
It was like her last chance. She's like, if Joe can salvage this, I guess, maybe in her head, then you know, maybe I'll be with guys again. But then she's like, nah. She started looking at Joe. She had more time to think about it. She's like, nope. I'm not only am I done with Joe, I'm done with all men. I'm going women.
So I needed to say yes within 24 hours.
Yeah. And you know what?
I mean, it had to be a quick turnaround.
Here's the other thing. Had she known and she given you a second chance, she would have had her lesbian encounter with you.
That's so stupid.
Now, Joe, serious question. After, and I'm trying not to be mean about this, but it's really hard with the way the dog has, I think, trained me at this point.
I know. It's not your fault.
With 17 months of celibacy underneath your belt, why wasn't your answer immediately yes? Why did it take you a week to get back to her?
Well, I got to be honest with you.
Just say it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I was sweating it. I was sweating.
Are you nervous to have sex?
You should be after 17 months.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to be nervous to have sex with somebody I like.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because I don't think they're going to like it.
Well, everybody is, I think, nervous first time.
I've never been
But people.
The only time I've been 17 months without sex was before I started having it.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
But here's the thing.
I wish we could really kind of change the subject.
Here's the thing you got to remember. Even people that you loved, you had sex with, and they didn't like it.
Evidently.
So, I mean,
your ex-wife, I'm going to just say she doesn't count, okay?
I mean, evidently, it's you're right. Fair. Yeah. I mean, a lot of folks have had sex with people that didn't like it, I guess.
Is there a class or is there some sort of online something you could do, like a tutorial? Is there like a dude ranch we could send you to?
I don't think it's with sex.
A dude ranch?
Yeah, well, I mean, something
like a bunny ranch?
No. Like a guy that could teach Joe the moves again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like you need to hire someone that needs to like go through the steps again and show you how to swing that leg back over the bike.
My goodness.
Women are not saying. Bicycles.
No, they're not. You don't swing your legs over them.
So what's the latest on this new date, this new prospect? You say you're going out now on the weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like a date. We're just going to go. We just want to meet real quick, you know?
Yeah.
So what day?
She has like a little birthday party shindig thing to go to tonight, mm-hmm. and it's with her friends, and they're going to be able to watch her kids in the morning, and since I won't have mine in the morning because I'm going to the rodeo tonight,
uh-huh.
we're going to go out and have coffee.
Oh, tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yay!
Oh, Saturday coffee.
So she made it work so we could meet real fast. And I thought, oh, that's cool. That's way cool of you.
That is a great sign, Joe.
I think as well.
Because she is making time for you.
She had to alter some plans.
She had to change something around.
That's so cool.
And did it. And she's like, if you would want to. And I wrote back immediately, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you didn't wait this time.
No. Not for that.
You're going to see just how good she is at altering plans after this first date when you call her back for a second. She's got lots of stuff going on. She's a lot busier.
I want my 2020 prediction to come true. This is good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not a bad start. So where is it that you're, where you're going to go get a coffee? You're just going to go to, like, what do they call those, Starbucks?
I know a great local coffee shop in Roseville, Joe.
Well, here's the thing. She's coming down from like, kind of the area where we used to work, the old meth lab area.
Oh, Citrus okay.
That's
Heights-ish.
Where her party is. And so I said, why don't we meet in between? Because she's going to have to go back and get her kids, and, you know, I don't want to make her drive all the way up there.
Yeah. I think it'd be great if you actually had the location planned out.
Oh, we do.
Oh, you want to say it on the air? Because we could send
Is
River...
Is it a chain coffee
I think I'd rather
place?
Not.
We
yeah.
could say River Rockers could go by and, like, honk and give Joe, you know, blast of confidence.
That's very sweet. Just honk. Don't actually walk in.
Yeah, come on, Joe!
No!
Get her done!
Let's do none of that.
Get her okay. done, Joe!
Let's pretend like you don't know who I am out there if you would happen to see me. Let me just meet this lady and be nice to her.
Joe, is it a chain coffee shop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all we need to know.
You know, and because I'm not a big coffee drinker, so I let her pick. I said, I don't really have any, you know, I like coffee, but it doesn't matter to me which one you would like to go, whatever you want, really.
Mm. Well, way to go. You screwed that up. Gave her the front foot on that. She's going to be leading you around with a bridle.
That's okay.
You have a suggestion for coffee shops?
No, I don't.
Okay, then.
Actually, if I were going to take her
I was going to ask you, Dana.
Yeah. If I were going to ask her out for coffee, I'd say, come by my house. I make a real good pot.
Really?
Yeah, and then when she got there, I'd say, oh, did I say that? And then, woohoo.
Yeah, you would somehow not have your pants on.
Yeah.
It'd be very traumatizing.
I'm taking no more dating advice from you.
Yeah, come by for coffee. And then when she gets there, I hate coffee. Oh, whoops. I'm new.
I didn't buy coffee beans. I only have these beans.
Yeah. Oh, don't play into it, Dana. These? Don't do that.
What do they call that thing that slides on the hot coffee cup?
The
sleeve?
Sleeve, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't have hot coffee, but... There you go.
Oh, you got a coffee sleeve.
Now, see, you would turn someone into a lesbian acting like that. That's too much machismo. That is just, you reek, man.
I'm so surprised you're married for 24 years. Too.
You don't pull that kind of coffee sleeve stuff with that with your wife.
With his wife at this point, for sure.
Yeah. I hate coffee. My wife loves it.
Oh, you rotten
get
animal.
Get in here and roast my beans.
So you're going to go to coffee.
Yeah.
And you said it's going to be a quick date. Like, what'd you tell her, 15 minutes?
Ridiculous. No. I think she chose.
She's going to show up, Dana. It's going to be just boiling hot coffee, and you're going to see her go like this, like at a kegger. She's going to burn her tongue to the inside of her throat. It's going to be the quickest cup of coffee ever drank.
She is so sweet, and she made time for him. This is going to be a good first date.
No, Dana, listen, this is funny. Joe said we're going to stop for quick coffee.
A little thirsty, are
you? Joe's going to be in there. Joe's going to be in there having a scone. You know, he's going to be in there having a coffee, and he's going to see her just drive through the drive-through window with her cup and leave. Oh, God, nice to meet you.
Great first date.
So dumb. That's why we got to take it easy tonight. I don't want to get too raucous.
Well, you said we. What do you mean we have to take it easy?
The three of us.
Yeah,
I could care less about you two tonight.
Yeah, okay. Every time I go out with you and something like that happens, I end up waking up in the morning hurting super bad.
Hey, I could care less about your date because tonight I'm on one. So, yeah.
Don't get in
the way tonight because we're going to be out bending bullhorns watching. Tonight's going to be fun.
Oh, boy.
Does she drink whiskey with you?
My wife?
Yeah.
She has, but no, she's not a big bourbon fan.
Okay, she's not going to bend that bullhorn.
No, she'll do it every now and again. She'll take a sip here and there, but no, she's not too into it.
Is she having drinks again right now?
Yeah, she'll have drinks. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
All right.
Why? You want the me and the missus to meet you up there at the coffee shop?
Really?
I mean, tomorrow?
No, I do not. That's why I'm not telling you where it's at.
You don't want a wingman and wing woman?
No way. Why?
24 years of experience between the two of them?
The missus could show up, no problem. She'd offer some positive, you know, constructive help, but not you.
Yeah.
Not that early in the morning.
So, how much time are you going to give this date? An hour? 30 minutes?
So, that's what I want. See how it goes. Let me ask you this, and I'm being serious about this one right now. Hopefully, I don't know if she's listening or not. If you are, I'm being honest when I ask this. What if we like hanging out, and I know she's got to go back and get the kids, and I have to get Digger before 3 o'clock because Digger's mom has to work.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you're not capable of tantric sex. You're good. Is that what you're asking?
Stop saying that.
You are so disgustingly dirty.
I think this girl's cool. So
you mean what if you want to continue hanging out and doing something else?
Is that something you ask at that point in time, knowing she's got to go back and get the kids and knowing that?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You need to find out from her when she's going to pick up her kids. Because I'm assuming you'll get there. She's going to tell you that. And then you work within that time frame. And I think that it's good to cut it off at one point, even if you might want to hang out longer that day. If you do and it flows, cool. If not, let distance be like a good thing because you guys are going to want to hang out again.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking.
So just go with like the flow. Don't try and force like anything.
Because I'm envisioning Joe and her show up. They meet at 11. Joe's like, hey, what time you got to pick up your kids? And she says 11:15.
You and the 15-minute date. You got to leave him alone.
Yeah.
Well, I thought like a quick in and out would be fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The last one scared me a little bit, so maybe this one won't.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, though, if you guys do hit it off, and then, you know, hey, can you make extra arrangements? You know, you got time for the studio movie grill.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I mean, hey.
Put the moves on her.
Coffee was good. You know, you could take her to Olive Garden.
Oh, my gosh.
You could sit her down, and you could just have a serious conversation. You could look at her straight in the eye and say, now we're family.
That's so dumb. People do feel like that when they eat there, though.
I know, it's really
warming.
It's the endless soup and breadsticks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you go get a sandwich or a burger or something. If it goes good, just go, hey, I enjoyed the coffee with you. What time do you got to go back? Are you hungry? I'd like you to buy me lunch.
Really?
Something like
buy
that.
Buy him lunch.
Yeah, could you go buy me a very expensive lunch? No.
Yeah.
I guarantee you I'm going to probably enjoy hanging out with her.
Yeah. I think you will.
She's got a very cool personality, and she makes me laugh.
I saw the photos of her. She is cute, and we'll see what she thinks of you.
Well, I gave her a picture of what I really look like as opposed to what she may see online from time to time.
Yeah, yesterday did not help you.
No,
at
not at all.
I'm
I forgot
sorry.
To tell her to stop looking there. I don't know if she saw that or not. That's
we got to tell people. There's this dumb thing Dana found. Dana finds all this stuff kids are doing. It's called the Dolly Parton Challenge.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what they do is they take four photos, and one is the...
In business attire.
Yeah, okay. You're in business attire.
For your LinkedIn profile photo.
And then the other photos.
And then there's Facebook,
yeah.
Okay. Instagram, and Tinder.
So okay. All the photos increase with dirtiness or yeah. provocative.
Well, like, okay, for example, like LinkedIn is very business professional. Facebook is kind of like very chill, down to earth. Instagram is kind of artsy. Mm-hmm. And then Tinder is like, you're like...
Sexy.
Your perfect photo of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So there's this Dolly Parton challenge going on. Someone created it. Now all these, like, celebrities.
Dolly Parton made it.
Yeah. Oh, she made it.
Oh, she did this. Yeah.
Oh.
She's so cool.
She's very cool.
She started doing this, and I guess other celebrities jumped on it. Dana saw it yesterday. It's kind of a new thing going around the internet, and she made one for Joe, and I'm telling you, it's perfect. Your Tinder profile or your Tinder photo is all you need to know about you.
Knowing now that they're supposed to increase in sexiness, I just got to say thank you for the photos chosen.
That captured you know, the essence of Joe.
Yeah, I appreciate what you did there.
Well, I got to be serious, too.
I thought your Instagram one was very artsy.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought his Tinder one was very modest.
I thought my Tinder one, no one had a camera at that point in my life.
Some guy got on there and said, is that a Tinder photo, Joe, or Grindr?
Did they really?
I almost put Grindr on
I appreciate
there.
That, guys.
Restrained myself.
Go to the Dog and Joe Show Facebook page. You can see those photos. Joe, that's good, though. I hope it goes well for you tomorrow. And don't text me. You can text Dana. Let her know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back on Monday with
the
conclusion.
I will tell Dana.
Yeah, don't tell me. I don't care. Don't bother
I'm not going to tell you nothing.
So,
well, anything
tomorrow.
You tell him also ends up on the radio.
It's used against us.
Yes.
It's not against you. It's stuff that you do.
For your joy and pleasure.
Says the man who writes questions about Joe turning women into lesbians.
That was, she was already a lesbian.
Wow.
Before that.
Yeah.
Before I ever became involved. And I didn't even get involved. I was just there for a minute.
I think that's what it did. That tipped her right over.
That's ridiculous.
Nope. Done.
No.
Come to my window.
You were already there before I got there.
All right, we'll be back. 93 minutes. And yes, today is going to be a fantastic day because today is Friday.
Yeah.
We are done. There goes 93 minutes. Nonstop commercial free with Smashing Pumpkins. Tonight, if you can, swing by Sauce. We should be there, I don't know, around 5-ish before we head over to PBR if you want to come by and buy me a belt. And,
oh, really?
If you want to buy Joe a belt, I'll drink my belt. He'll wear his.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I have a belt.
What do you look for in a belt? You want something that's like leather? Do you like rope?
I like black leather. Yeah.
Black leather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Rope, I see where you're going with that, but we don't use that anymore.
Do you wear those belts made of canvas that have the stupid buckles that you have to interweave and then pull to tighten?
Or
do you
don't call those stupid.
What's wrong with those?
I know.
I've
belt...
got an allergy to metals. You know that.
I do know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You got to have a belt that's got a buckle poker that sticks in the hole.
No. You can have all kinds of belts. You can have grippers, they can clickers. Where you get it through there.
Joe loves belts.
I do.
Yeah. Well, swing by. If you're in the area, if you're going to the PBR, we'll be at Sauce for a little bit, and then we're going to take winners back, do the shoot tour, and we'll be inside Golden One tonight for PBR Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It should be a good time, so we'll see you. This thing doesn't start till 7:45 tonight.
Oh, wow.
Is that what time it actually gets going?
Yeah, so if anyone out there wants to come by and give me a lullaby or read me a bedtime story, I'll... be about dozed off by then.
Man, no kidding, right?
So,
that's way past your bedtime.
I know. Hopefully you can come by and say hi. If not, have a fantastic weekend. Monica Lowe's in next.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for hanging out with us this week. It was a lot of fun. If we don't see you tonight or talk to you tomorrow, we'll talk to you Monday morning. Play nice.